Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitation for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
How about you?
We're in the phone call right here.
Yes, well, it's that day.
Weekend is here. Have a can of beer.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe?
Oh, www.joeartinger.com.
Joe Artinger.
I live there.
He asked me before the show.
And then he forgot?
I thought he would jump in with it right afterwards. He was happy. He got
his website plugged?
Yeah, you got a bunch of hits last week, right?
Yeah, 1,500.
All right, wow. Just to look at Joe's leg.
We all get plugs on Friday?
No. No, we do not. We do not.
Okay.
I could say go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com and see our new logo.
Yeah, but there's no leg there.
There's no leg there. Listen, today we're jammed, man.
Cool.
Jammed,
seriously,
baby. We're like Kirstie Alley trying to fit into a size 52 pant today.
Fat actress.
Really. We are absolutely jammed.
That's jammed.
So let me just say, hello.
Hello there, Mr. Shannon.
Hello, Milt Drysdale. I heard you were a bit under the weather yesterday.
Yes, but I'm recovering now, and we're going to have a normal day at the Commerce Bank of Beverly Hills as we tend to the accounts of Granny.
Here on
Granny.
Shannon, in the morning, I gave you a copy of a book, Chicken Soul for the Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Chicken Soup for the Soul, and it pulled me out of my doldrums, and I gave it to Granny. Granny.
It's a self-help book.
Wonderful. Do you have groaners for us today?
I have groaners and a bonus Friday.
Ooh.
Because the time has passed.
Oh.
Your all-time counted-down favorite, Christopher Reeve joke.
Oh, he loved them himself when he was alive.
Groaners. What's the biggest musical festival in Iraq?
What?
Lola Falusha.
Lollapalooza.
Yeah, Lala.
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza.
Lollapalooza. What? Lola Falana.
Hello. What's the most popular brand of noodles in a cup in Iraq?
What?
Top Ramadan.
Wow.
Oh, God. What it is banned really gets Maury Povich in the mood.
What?
Bang Chung.
Hello. Getting better. Oh.
Scott Shannon.
Hi.
Come on, Bill.
Hi.
Hi, Bill.
What black singing trio is most popular in Sweden?
What?
Let me just say. They sent this today.
Yeah.
This is like a joke that would have worked 8 years ago.
Of course.
Sven Vogue.
Oh.
Right, wow. But I mean. I like En Vogue. Oh. Never gonna get it.
Yeah,
no, you're never gonna get it. But those girls were so 5 years ago.
That's not timely.
Oh, boy. However, because it is Friday.
Uh-huh.
Hello, I'm Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale.
We've got some of your favorite Christopher Reeve jokes. Not counting the one that was heard on this show.
Yes.
Here are your favorites. Which actor does Christopher Reeve most want to be?
Which one?
Christopher Walken.
Bada bang.
What's the difference between Christopher Reeve and O.J. Simpson?
What?
Christopher Reeve got the electric chair.
Bada bang.
Well, this is a repeat. This is the one that was on the show.
Well, you have to tell it.
Yeah. Hello. What's black and sits at the top of the stair?
What?
Christopher Reeve after a house fire.
Is that it?
Two more.
As the numbers get smaller, the jokes get bigger.
We're counting them down.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Shannon.
I want to say, this is Scott Shannon, and I find this material to be unacceptable.
Very good, Shannon, right. But read it anyway.
What's got bright red underpants and flies?
What?
Christopher Reeve. You never heard that one?
No.
Finally.
Yes. The final joke.
Why didn't Superman save the hostages in Iraq?
Why?
Because he's dead. And before that, he was in a wheelchair.
Hey, now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let's get retarded.
We got that out of the way.
Well, you know, the time had passed.
I understand.
Everybody.
It's the dumb DJ service, the joke service. They send them. It's free, we read it.
I don't know that one.
Hello.
Right there.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know.
Hello.
Oh, hi, hi, Tony. Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
Hi.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. No expression advised.
You know what, hold on, I just realized... I never even opened the door tonight. Yeah, but as I pointed out...
Hey, look who came in.
That's a sound effect.
How have you been?
How have you been?
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. JoeArcher.com. I live there. And all the ships at sea, they occasionally take a breath of the rarefied air of Buxton.
Yes. Yeah.
Don Geronimo. Mike.
Hi there, everybody.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi there, Jerry. Okay, hi, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show a new episode on this Friday. Friday, 101504.
How have you been, Don and Mike? Buzz Burbank here.
And running.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this, the Don and Mike Show, and it's Rocktober 15.
Oh, boy!
20-04. Call us from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, 800-636-1067. And from Washington, D.C., you can always sneak in on WJFK at 202-432-1067. This is the opening segment of the final show of the week, mm-hmm. So we will get a lot of the junk that's been piling up all week.
All right.
Done in this opening segment, because I don't often say this. Today, I think we have a show.
Yes.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, believe you're correct.
Most days we have a show. Today, mm-hmm. I think... we have a show.
Oh, we have a show.
This is what, you know, if you worked on a real radio show...
Sounds like we have a show.
You'd have a show like...
Yeah, we got a real show today.
Where you've got, you know, I mean, you've got the guy and then the woman and then the guy.
Right.
And then the guy and then, you know, the call and then the guy. And then that's the show.
Is yeah, like five guys and a girl and a guy.
Yeah, yeah. And phone calls.
And then there's us.
Yeah, and then we go home.
Wow.
So let's get right to it. What do I got left for the end of the week?
Yeah.
Boy, I guess I'll start with the office romance that I've never discussed.
Oh, well, you teased that yesterday.
That's why I keep these detailed notes, so I can remind myself about Beth Ann's office romance.
Oh, please. She's going to be somebody's McBride?
Well, here's the thing. You remember the doofy sales guy, Jonathan?
Yeah, that came in here and actually... you know, did a very decent job on the show.
Yes. Yeah, he has approached her before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's been talking to her in the hallways uh-huh. before. I've noticed that he's chatting her up quite often in the hallway.
And he kind of looked dorky, and we brought him in, and he was actually a witty lad.
So it was, I guess, a couple days ago. I'm just sitting in the office, and Beth Ann is in there with me, and we're talking. The door's open, and he walks by, and he gives her a look. And she gives him a look back, and I say, hey, what's going on? And he says, absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, get out of here. She says this to him, get out of here.
Get out of here in a yeah. familiar way that would indicate...
In a way that would indicate...
relations.
Whatever it is, don't say it in front of this guy.
Ah.
Just get out of here. So I said, hold on, what's going on? And he said, well, why don't you ask her? And I said, well, tell me what's going on. And she turned red.
Ah.
Turned as red as one of her reindeer sweaters.
That's mm-hmm. sure
and she said, okay... he calls me. He called me on Sunday and said, are you watching the game? Do you want to watch the game? And he said, no, 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 no. You called me first.
Uh-huh.
And there's just a little something
that is interesting
going on there.
Satan is the game that grown-ups play.
And I've identified.
This is how it starts. I like this couple, too. I like them as a couple.
Do we remember his status? Was he married or just seeing somebody?
Hi, VA.
Hey.
Hi, so how did it go last weekend with Jonathan? As I recall the conversation, did you call him first?
I may have called him earlier in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he was returning my call.
Beth Ann O'Reilly.
And why did you call me? Yeah, you
were. One of those calls. She's going to have to counter sue.
I certainly hope you didn't call him and then talk about things and turn on stuff, and then when you were done, talk about what a great show you'd produce that day.
how's it going with this lad?
Well, he's just my friend.
And I call him a lad because he's kind of the dictionary definition of a lad. Yeah,
he is.
Well, he's a man boy, is what he is.
He is a man boy. He's a laddie boy.
He's a boy man, I guess.
Laddie boy. Wasn't that a dog food?
Yes, laddie
boy.
Yes, laddie boy. Correct.
Laddie boy.
So why, if you don't mind asking, and who cares if you do, why did you originally call him over the weekend?
I don't know, because, you know, his girlfriend had gone to Bolivia or something on business.
How convenient.
Oh,
no.
Look at that. Competition's out of town.
Yeah. And Bolivia, man, you can't get him any further out of the way than South America.
I know. So I said to him, boy, when she goes out of town, she goes out of town.
Boy, you know, next stop, Antarctica. Hey, all right, baby.
So you call him because she's, I guess he had already mentioned that his girl.
No. It was during the first conversation that I found out she was in Bolivia, going to Bolivia, dropped off the airport or something like that. And we all, both he and his girlfriend and I and my daughter, shared this love of Alexandria.
Virginia, that's a town around
here. Right. So, yeah. You know, we've always sort of promised, hey, we'll have to go out, you know, go there together, spend the day, get something to eat, do stuff, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, so, he's smooth.
Yes, he is. Alexandria, huh?
Yeah, nice
one. Hello, more. After I've delved into the secret archives of the Antiquarian Library in Alexandria.
Yeah.
Alexandria. Oh, you mean that delightful suburb of Washington, D.C.
See, it finally pays off to have that tape.
Sure, at
to have that Batman tape.
Alexandria.
So then he called you then on Sunday.
Well, there was a lot of phone calls over the week. Because he's really the only other person I talked to outside of you,
mm-hmm.
Mike, mm-hmm. Rob, Joe, and Buzz. Which I think is probably not healthy.
You still don't have any friends?
No.
What about the guy that was hitting on you at the health club?
Oh, I think we're over.
We think. So he's resurfaced at some time?
The Mormon guy?
The next time I saw him, like 3 weeks later, uh-huh. He pulled up beside me. I was walking back to my apartment, and he pulled up in a car with his wife, and that's how I met his wife.
Oh, well,
and she's not going to Bolivia.
No, she's not.
No, so he's off the market.
Yeah.
But you and Jonathan,
we're just friends.
Just friends.
Well, what about, has Jonathan introduced you to anyone?
No.
No.
Has he asked to take you out? I mean, even his friends?
With his girlfriend.
But his girlfriend's in Bolivia now.
No, she's back. She's back from Bolivia.
Oh, she's already back
from
Bolivia.
She was only there for 2 days.
A quick trip just had to pick something up.
Oh, then you... Buzz, it's funny how your mind works. Really, it's funny.
That was just a guess on my part.
I know a good restaurant. It's called Smuggler's Cove.
You know, now let's stop and think about it. Why would a chick be going to Bolivia for just 2 days?
Exactly.
2 days. Who goes to Bolivia for 2 days?
I think I saw that movie.
anywho, I guess those 48 hours should have been the time that you, you know, came in and did the swoop in and
well, let's not kill the deal here. I mean, you get along with a girlfriend?
I've never met her, but I hope
you did. You've never met her?
Yeah, but and she's a little... Jonathan has said to me, you really need to meet Eileen, because that's her name.
Okay.
Because we're spending a lot of time on the phone, and she's starting to notice that. Okay. I call quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good to know what you're up against. Well, how solid is this relationship?
I think it's rock solid, and I can't wait to be at their wedding.
Relationship.
That one, yeah. We were talking about your relationship with Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. I think he's cute. You know, he's a friend.
Didn't you say he's amazing?
I didn't say he's amazing.
The amazing Jonathan.
Are you really looking forward?
That's for everybody in Las Vegas.
Are you really looking forward to the wedding?
Yes, I am.
Especially the part when the minister says, if there's anyone who knows any just cause.
You mean when he says the name Beth Ann instead of Eileen?
That's right.
You'll be like Vince Vaughn in Old School. Don't do it.
That's right. Listen, what about the crazy man? Now, keep in mind that we have solved this problem with Beth Ann in fantasy football. That she didn't want to pay the $100 to join our league.
Right.
So we all chipped in and paid the fee. And I think Beth Ann's record is actually surprisingly good. It's like she's 2-3, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Better than me.
So some guy out there keeps sending Beth Ann money, though.
Money orders.
Money orders. I know you received another one today.
Yes.
How much is it for?
$5.
$5. How many has the guy sent you?
About 50. $55
worth. $55.
Money orders. What city does the guy live in?
Suburban Maryland.
Oh, really? Oh. So he's close by.
Now, has he
put any notes in the money orders? Anything that has he communicated with you? Anything outside just sending the money?
Not at all. But the only thing I've ever noticed about, I can recognize his handwriting now, but the stamps are always upside down.
Oh, that's a little odd.
Do the envelopes smell?
Not at all.
Are they stained?
Nope.
I know you've talked about Alexandria, but do you know where Jonathan lives?
I think he lives in Fairfax.
But he could certainly drive to suburban Maryland to mail something.
And take out, like, $5 money orders.
Yeah, and if it really is him, like Rob is alleging, or, you know, he could see the guy that's sending you these things and go out and get eaten whole.
That's right. Or he could just say, you know, it's time to call in that debt.
What you might want to do is take those $5 money orders and get one of those CSI lights.
Mm-hmm.
And take a look.
A black one.
You know, because
you'll find out what I already know is that the guy that's sending the money orders is a cannibal.
Oh, the gay cannibal. The gay cannibal from.
I have a hunch if you put it under a black light, it's going to look like the set of The Dating Game.
All right, well, we're just, as always, concerned about you, Beth Ann.
Thank you.
Concerned about you. Please, this weekend, let me just say to everybody, this is a hard-working woman, and I mean that.
Yeah.
She's a hard-working woman in a male-dominated business. She's doing a great job, and really, I mean, I don't know how to put this.
I know what you're going to say.
I think you know what I'm going to say.
No, I'm not going to do that, Don, so you give me away at my wedding.
No, okay. Now, listen, don't
you going to say she needs something?
Yeah. But I think
she needs companionship.
Yes, and it starts with companionship.
Yes, I mean, of course. Like the stress. You've got to deal with the stress.
And then 2 hours later, right?
Yeah, I was going to say 5 minutes later. But
in a perfect world.
Anyway, all I know is, listen, everybody has needs. Everybody performs their jobs better when certain stress is released.
That's sure, right. And you have to take risks because everybody plays the fool sometimes.
And you know why, Mike?
What?
You just don't want to be lonely. That's another main ingredient song.
Yes.
I just don't want to be lonely.
You know, you can just communicate with people with song lyrics all day long.
Boy, a nice weekend in New England. Could you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
That was a Barry Manilow song title.
Yeah.
That really sucked. Beth Ann, good luck.
Thank you.
Good luck. I'm rooting for you. We're all rooting for you.
Thanks.
As a person. I mean, you're doing great as the producer of the show, but we're rooting for you as a person.
Thanks.
Hold on, here's a guy who says he knows what the upside-down stamp means.
Uh-oh.
Pete.
Scary.
Pete.
Hi, Don on my show. Hi, Pete.
Hey, how you doing? I know this sounds a little gay for me to know this, but the upside-down stamp means I love you.
Oh, my.
That is gay.
Oh,
it does.
You know, if you really loved me, they'd be in bigger increments than $5.
Way to go, Beth Ann.
Well,
maybe you get more now.
I think the mystery man should sign in, mm-hmm. should call in, should send Beth Ann a note.
Or at the very least, start upping it to put Ben Franklin's in there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, thank you, Pete.
Okay.
You bet.
All right, see you. Bye, B.A.
Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, so that's one thing.
Very good.
Solved. Problem number two that I'd like to bring to your attention, which we have now solved, would be the spike in Internet use during the Don and Mike show.
Oh, have we solved it.
Now, as we mentioned yesterday, the station came to us and said, well, there's a problem.
Yeah.
Between 3 and 7 when the show's on.
Someone is downloading something over the Internet, which is literally killing all the computers in the building.
It's crashing. It's like the end of business day. We can't do business on the computers.
Just during our show.
What are you guys doing with the computer? We said we're not doing anything. And we called up to the dump room where Travis normally is.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, Lisa was up there yesterday because they had swapped shifts or something.
Uh-huh.
So Travis ran the dump button yesterday morning for Stern.
Right.
So they went through, and again, this is kind of like Big Brother-ish that they can go back and see.
A little scary.
You know, who's been using the computer well.
I like Tony's sleuthing abilities.
But Tony Diggs.
Bacardi Limon.
Got out his spyware and tracked and found out, darn it, that, yeah, the morning that Travis switched with Lisa and ran the dump button on the Stern show, mm-hmm. Well, that morning there was a 75% spike in internet use starting at 6 a.m.
We have to talk to Travis and get more detail on this.
Find out really what he's up to, because he was a little sneaky about it. He indicated it was movie.
Hello there.
Movie clips. Hey, hello, Travis.
Travis. Let's all call him Spike Man.
Hey, Spike. How are you?
Hello.
Hello. Hello, Travis.
Hello.
Oh, listen, really, I've got no problem with you doing whatever you do up there. Yeah. You know, but really, what are you doing?
Obviously, you don't.
I don't know why whatever I'm doing is just killing the whole system. You know what the worst part is? I wasn't even here when you all were talking about it, so I had no idea why I was even being called. So when I was told about today, I was like, holy Jesus, how is this even happening?
But they found out it was you because you switched the shift. You did the morning show, and then the usage goes up.
Call me embarrassed. So basically, I had a little discussion with Mr. Diggs.
Yes.
And we decided that I will refrain from doing a lot of I guess, streaming and downloading and stuff to see exactly if that's the problem.
Bacardi Limon.
And we'll take care of that.
Yes. I bet it is.
Any detail? Yeah. What's one of the finest things you've ever downloaded there, Travis?
The finest things I've ever downloaded? Yeah. Oh, God. I couldn't even begin to tell you.
I bet you could. Not on the radio.
Yes, exactly. Come on now.
I have
to protect the license.
How many movies a week would you average?
Oh, I don't. It's not even really movies. It's all sorts of stuff I do.
Songs, clips.
Yeah, I mean, it's random streaming of this. It's like watching music videos and stuff. I'm doing all sorts of crap.
How many thousands of clips a week would you imagine you watch?
Oh, no. It's more like between probably 20 and 30 a week.
20 and 30 a week,
yeah.
Causing a 100% spike in the afternoon.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, Spike, man, we got our eye on you.
Just call me Spike Lee.
Okay.
All right, see
you. Here he is. Travis Bickle, everybody.
Once again, successfully evading our Inquisition.
He's the man. Well, it's because...
He can't tell us what he's downloading.
No,
yeah,
we know what. But we know what he's downloading.
But they use a lot of computer space.
Everybody knows. And Travis...
It sounds so old, doesn't it?
What?
A lot of computer space.
Yes, lots of cars.
Travis is obviously a man, let me just say a man, because not only has he had this practice during our afternoon show, but when he has to switch and do the morning, why gosh, he gets that same routine going.
But obviously,
6 a.m. or 3 p.m.
You've spoken to Tony, and now the policy up there when Travis is near the computer will be hands off.
Bacardi Limon.
Absolutely.
Hands off, Travis.
Okay. Next item in the list of stuff that we got to talk about, I'd like to cover. Oh, this is just brief. Just brief. My crazy neighbors who have the driveway that curls around.
The one that's got the police tape in front of it?
Yes.
Where they sealed the driveway and then they never used it again?
Right. Now, it's important for me to describe this, so I've drawn a picture here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all their driveway is shaped like a horseshoe.
Okay.
Right,
okay.
And the house is in the middle of the horseshoe, so you can enter the house from either side of the driveway.
Oh.
And I noticed that, you know, as I mentioned, no lie, no exaggeration, for 3 months since they had the driveway resealed, they had the CSI yellow crime tape up.
You didn't smell death in the neighborhood at all?
So, I guess it was a couple weeks ago I mentioned on the show. I'm on the way home last night. I'm going past the same houses I go past. And I notice when I get to this house, on one side of the driveway, the crime scene tape is gone.
Okay.
Now what they've done is they've installed a real chain.
Hey.
What they've done is they've taken, and it's nicely done.
Like a chain to go across to prohibit use of the driveway by others.
Only on one side. The other side is free and open.
But they discover some army ordnance under the driveway or something? What's going on?
Unexploded
shells?
I don't even know these people. I knew the people that lived in the house before, Tom and Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
These people... I don't know. You know me, I'm not a people person.
Right.
I don't know.
Do you think they've been using the police tape as kind of a security gate?
No. I have no idea.
No one has ever witnessed them maybe untying it, driving in the drive. Have you seen cars on the driveway?
No, that's the other thing. I've never seen these people.
I know you're not very social, but I think you need to take them a plate of cookies and find out what the hell's going on.
Yes, and then maybe you can meet the doctor.
Yes.
I'm not a plate of cookies guy, but it's obvious that they have listened to the show, or at least it got back to them about the crime scene tape.
That was odd.
That's great.
Now, well, I think they've got something going on down here.
If there could be some way that they could send me a sign.
Not much call for the Bruce Dern impression. That's
send me, I like it, Mike.
Yeah, it's, you know, I didn't know whether it was lost on anybody there, you know.
From the Burbs.
Yeah, from the Burbs.
Yeah. From the, but you've got to come up with a better reference than the Burbs. He's been in a ton of movies.
The Burbs is what I'm talking about.
Fits.
Because your neighbors are, you know,
that's true.
The Burbs.
My brother! The doctor.
That's the crappiest movie ever made. But it's all over cable. You can't miss it. You know
why? It's Hanks. People will even take bad Hanks now.
You don't mind
over
if you
something
take
else.
Look downstairs, do you? Do you, Doc?
It's a bad Tom Hanks movie, but right. Because it's Tom Hanks, it's on.
And right. Also, it's great. It's got Mr. Mooney in it.
It's Tom Hanks, I think, before he had his lip fixed.
Now,
did he have his lip fixed?
He had to. You ever watch Tom Hanks' old movies compared to his new movies?
No.
Take a look at his lip. He's got like a trumpet player's lip. And then he had it fixed.
I think
that's
fixed.
A theory I've had for years and years.
Hmm.
But if you see Tom Hanks in...
like the Money Pit?
Bachelor Party.
Okay.
You see Tom Hanks in Bachelor Party, or, God, what's the one he did?
Catch a Rerun of
Big
Buddy?
What's the one we like, the one that's very obscure?
Oh, nothing in common with Jackie Gleason?
See him in Nothing in Common, and then go see him in, like, Castaway. And look at his mouth. His mouth looks different.
Can I just say something?
Yes, I'm staring at it.
I think it's very interesting that you are spending a lot of time looking at Tom Hanks' dreamy mouth.
I've always been a fan of his mouth.
You're mentioning that.
I didn't think he needed to fix it, but he did. It looks like he's got the trumpet player's lip, the flat front. I don't know whether he's ever played the trumpet, but it looks like he had some work done.
So you're looking at those kissable lips.
I wonder if I'm the only person.
Feast on them.
I wonder if I'm the only person on the planet. God, why do I open my damn mouth? That's right.
You are, Mike.
Come here. I got this big microphone in front of me.
I just
flap my gums and stuff comes out.
We just got the word.
That's right.
You are the only person
on
the face of the earth. That is noticed.
Why do I say things that are on my mind? Damn it.
That's interesting.
That's why you're here.
I just... think he had his lips fixed, or his upper lip fixed.
I bet you'd like to fix that upper lip, wouldn't you?
Of course, stop it. If it's plastic surgery in Hollywood, we may not never know the truth. True. Anyway.
How many Tom Hanks movies do you own?
All of them.
Do you have Bosom Buddies as well?
Oh, yeah. I got the box set.
And for you, when you put on Splash, I mean, it's Splash time.
Oh,
right?
You better believe it. You know, that pesky Daryl Hannah all over that movie.
What's she doing there? here we go. Here's something we got earlier this week from our radio station in Portland, Maine.
All right, WZAN, my favorite affiliate.
WZAN.
Cousin!
Well,
cousin!
They did half right.
Hi, Teddy. Hi, Mary. Hi, John.
Half right and half wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They apparently have some bumper stickers, which I'll get to in a moment. Mm-hmm. Never a bad thing when the station supports us with bumper stickers. And they sent along the following promotional announcement, something about the elections and us. And anyway, it ties in to the bumper sticker thing. So here it is.
Vote Bush. Kerry for president. Go Nader. These days, everybody's got a bumper sticker telling you what they think. With all this political mudslinging going on, we thought it was time for a positive message of peace and unity. That's why we're introducing the free, limited edition, I Support Don and Mike bumper sticker. To get yours, visit one of our first-come, first-served sticker drops. Tell the world what you stand for. Get your free, limited edition, I Support Don and Mike sticker.
Today, we'll be in South Portland on Western Avenue in the parking lot in front of Staples.
So it goes on for a second here.
Factory from 4:30 to 5:30.
I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on.
That's today in South Portland in front of Staples on Western Avenue from 4:30 to 5:30.
Good affiliate.
Say it loud, say it proud. We support Don and Mike. 9WZAN.
They really aren't running for office, are they?
So you that's know? The end of their promo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Now, having said that,
that's Sonny Fox.
Yeah, that's you're right, Robbie.
Yeah, I mean they got a big voice guy.
Yeah,
Sonny Fox. So great, thanks WZAN.
Mm-hmm.
They sent some of the bumper stickers.
They soiled them.
Now
they did soil them. They
call us petty.
Oh, we are petty.
However, on a bumper sticker that appears to be of some high quality,
Very nice bumper sticker.
Very nice. But let's see if you can read it from your vantage point.
I support Don and Mike, 970 WZAN. And then there's home. Oh, and then underneath in tiny letters, it says Imus in the morning?
No! Although the letters, see, Buzz is a good, 10 yards away from
me. Yeah, I am.
The letters are really not that tiny.
But if I were in a car behind you.
Now, in fairness to WZAN, they are the smallest letters, but what's Imus doing on our bumper sticker?
Yeah, no.
Good question.
No.
Here's the good news. It's written in smaller letters along the bottom edge, so when you get your sticker, just use a pair of scissors and trim off that bottom edge. You'll be fine.
Again, that's wonderful of them.
Yes.
Yeah, great that an affiliate gets involved in the show, especially when you're canceled in Salt Lake because of this politics crap.
I mean, Imus is on a lot of stations we're on.
That's great. But if you're going to do a bumper sticker for our show, don't put the old man on the respirator's name on it as well.
No.
That's all.
We are not friends. And listeners, you know what to do.
Would it have been that tough? That's all you got to do. My index finger covers, the length of my index finger covers where it says the name of that show.
The good thing is, on a legitimate bumper sticker, which it is, you will not be able to read the Imus part if you're in a car, unless you are in a car accident with a car in front of you.
But what if you're one of those people that brings the bumper sticker home and puts it on your garage wall?
I know.
You know, or maybe you put it, slap it on the wall at work.
Trim it.
Yeah.
They already print them all up?
I guess so.
Just trim it.
I guess they have. Trim it. Hold on. Here you go. Here's Al from Portland, Maine. Hello, Al.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great. Thank you.
Yeah, I picked up a couple of those stickers, and I just took the old scissors and cut it right out.
There you go. Trim it.
I mean, if they want to do bumper stickers for Imus, do bumper stickers for Imus.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And I'd say, don't put our name on a bumper sticker for Imus' show.
No, please don't. I mean,
please do not.
I don't think we would want to be on that.
And not that we care, but imagine how he feels. It's in such tiny letters.
Hello. Buzz, they're not that tiny.
Yeah, come on, Buzz. Okay.
Right. Let's be honest.
Stop making it better, Buzz.
It ain't like an eye chart, okay? Yeah. It's not like he's like the bottom line. You got 20/20 vision.
Well, has Imus had bumper stickers with us on them? That's what I'd like to know.
How much you want to bet?
No way.
Hello, here is Nicole, also from Maine. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
Hi there, honey.
I have a bumper sticker.
Oh,
congratulations,
thank you. And Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. Now what's next?
I'm going to cut off the bottom.
All right.
Good. Have you already put it on your vehicle?
No, not yet. I just got it a little while ago.
Nicole, do you think we're being too petty?
No.
There you go.
Now, listen,
I don't listen to Imus. I listen to you guys.
And listen, you live in Portland, Maine. You got this sticker. Did you? Be honest with me. Don't spare our feelings. Did you feel that same dagger in your heart the way I did when you looked at this? You went, I support Don and Mike, 970 WZAN. I'm just in the morning. Now, maybe you didn't react like I did. I said, toilet paper, it's not a bumper sticker.
Stupid idiot.
How did you react? Did you have any reaction?
Well, if I wanted a bumper sticker that supported Imus, I would have got one.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I only wanted one because it was supporting you guys. Yeah. So.
Thank you, Nicole.
Trim it.
Thank you. You know what? I think they should give out whiteout. I really think, support Mike Nesmith's mom.
Well,
who invented the product and give away a little bottle of whiteout.
Right.
Which in this day, now that people don't use typewriters, we use computers. Is there even a need for whiteout anymore?
No, there's really not. You just backspace.
They still sell it. You could use a red magic marker and just a fat one and just line through the
eyes. We've got one. Don, you've got those, a million of those red Sharpies.
Get one of the big ones.
See how it looks with the red. I bet it'll look great.
Hey, yeah. So you only just line through it?
Yeah, color
with
it in.
The red Sharpie. So that it looks like a thick underline.
Yes. Give me a second.
He's doing it very neatly.
Neatly, that's the important thing.
Well,
sure looks nice.
Like this is just a prototype.
All right.
A prototype.
How's it covering?
I'm going to have to go to a second Sharpie.
Or maybe a regular magic marker.
No, I'm running out of red, though.
Stickers are kind of waterproof. So. I got a red over here if you need one.
Yeah.
Repels.
Give me a fresh red.
Yeah, fresh red.
That's good. I want to thank Sharpie for sending me like 8,000 Sharpies.
No.
And the brand new Sharpies that where the point comes out like on a ballpoint pen.
That's cool.
See, I'm running out of ink. I'm running out of red.
Really? I think it's just the quality of the...
Mike, okay.
Let me see.
How's that?
Yeah.
That's nicely close. Done.
Yeah.
Close.
That's the idea.
Absolutely. And if you have a regular magic marker, it'd be even better, I think.
It just underscores 970 WZAN.
What do you think, Robbie? So if you get a red Sharpie, you just color through the I Miss in the Morning part.
You've made that a better sticker.
I think so. Now I'm laughing.
Amen.
Now I like the sticker.
Well, you know, isn't it fun? Now you not only have a bumper sticker, but you got a game you can play at home.
And, you want to try it with a black
one?
You
can try it on a different one with black, and then we can combine.
Black, black might work. All right.
Okay.
Might look nice.
All right.
Always bet on black.
And, may I say, I don't know how many have been, well, I'm sure they printed up a bunch of them.
Yeah, well,
but take that off and print up some more. Come on.
In the meantime.
Isn't the promotion I support Don and Mike?
Yeah. That's the idea.
Why is the other guy involved?
Oh, no. Hold on.
I mean, you know, he's on the radio station, Russ. He's not our running mate.
Mike, we're all in here.
All right.
I'm trying.
And since we are, Rob, talking about Portland, Maine, I'll do it again. Cousins!
You know, see, the thing is...
What's going on now?
I think it underlines 970 WZAN.
I agree. See,
the
now,
black? If you use the black, now there I've used the black Sharpie.
That's also nice.
Yeah, that's nice, too. The black Sharpie as opposed to the red Sharpie.
I like them both.
Yeah. Tell me what you like better, though. Well, here's
black.
The deal. What should we urge our listeners to do?
I think the black.
Black.
And you know,
I like red, or you can just trim it.
I think the layout is better with the black. And you know what's nice about these bumper stickers
what's
now?
That?
When you see these bumper stickers on a car, you'll really be able to identify the true fans of this show.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Joe?
Actually, you could just cut the border off around the whole thing.
Trim it.
And it would be perfect.
Well, that's kind of what Buzz indicated earlier. You could trim
it. Yeah, but I think it needs a quicker fix to take the magic marker.
Yeah, and no one wants to cut this thing up.
No, you don't want to cut up a bumper sticker. And I think this shows the real... You can have fun with it.
Yes.
You can put graffiti on your own.
As you drive around the sleepy hamlet of Portland, Maine, you'll
be
able to...
One of the most beautiful cities in America, one of my favorite cities.
You'll be able to figure out right away who really listens to the show.
That's
who's
right.
Taking the Sharpie to take Imus' name off the Don and Mike bumper sticker. Mm-hmm.
And not to split hairs, but it's really not an official radio station bumper sticker because you can't peel off the back with an expired coupon of any sort.
Thank God they didn't put coupons back there.
They always do that.
Oh, my God.
That's like... Roy Rogers,
the WAVA coupon.
We got a break, but this is the best ever. Me and Mike are working at WAVA, doing the morning zoo, way before we started doing this type of radio. The station announces we're going to have 500,000 bumper stickers with one of those, you know, win with a sticker, stick with a winner things.
Right.
So they start giving away the bumper stickers at Roy Rogers, back when Roy Rogers was the chain. Somebody comes in the next day and says, hey, I got one of your brand new bumper stickers. 500,000 of them that have all the coupons on the back,
right.
All of them outdated.
Clever.
Crafty. And we're saying on the air, when you get your WAVA Win It sticker, go in and get your free onion rings. Go in and get your free milkshake. Yeah.
The home of Don and Mike.
In Play Dallas, only 24% said no. And now the burning question, do you or don't you like Don and Mike? Apparently these guys have sent you hundreds of flowers over the last couple of weeks. What's the answer, yes or no?
No.
You don't like them? Oh, my. Why? Any particular reason?
No reason.
Have you gotten the flowers?
Yes.
Are they nice?
My wife enjoys them.
Well, I'll be sure to pass that along to her.
All right.
You have to be smart to be an offensive lineman. Joe just proved it.
You're right. No comment.
That's basically. Charlie Casserly when he was
on the show
general manager of the Redskins.
Charlie Casserly, thank you. Christine Brennan, appreciate you watching.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you tonight on the
Bye, Steve Buckley.
So, listen, rinse, repeat. The Don and Mike Show.
For many, many years here in D.C.
You know that, don't you?
Charlie Casserly?
By the way, you do that with the Charlie Casserly tape, then you play a little ZZ Top, little Texas thing going. Mm-hmm. You know, you're thinking all the time, aren't you?
I'm trying to.
There you go.
So Charlie Casserly is the general manager of the Redskins.
Right.
And they win the Super Bowl. And before we get him on, I'll tell you just something about Charlie Casserly. Back when he was the GM of the Redskins. It's like 8 years ago. When I first got hired to do the pregame show.
Right.
I was the Dennis Miller experiment before it happened on TV. They put me on the radio with the Redskins.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in the office one day, and phone rings. The girl says, it's Charlie Casserly on the phone.
I remember how excited you were.
The GM of the Redskins.
Wow.
I think it's a goof. Hello? Charlie Casserly. Says, hey, congratulations on the job. Anything I can do to help you, let me know.
Good guy.
Now, I'm a DJ doing a pregame show for the Redskins. You know, and it was like Dennis Miller being on. Nobody wanted me on that
show.
And
he didn't have to make that call.
No, he did not. And he's a good guy and has been a friend of ours. And now he's the general manager of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, he's doing a good job with them.
And let's get a shout out to Houston on KIKK. Here now is Charlie Casserly. Charlie.
Good to hey, it's a long time.
Hey, Charlie Cash.
How are you, Charlie?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Doing very well. As I mentioned, we're glad to be on in Houston on KIKK.
Yeah.
And
glad to have you.
Have to mention, really, no BS. You guys have a plan for the Houston Texans, being an expansion team, and I would say, even though you got off to a bad start this year, you're right on schedule. Even though you lost that heartbreaker last week to Minnesota, you have, I know you don't like the profanity, a GD good football team, mm-hmm. a strong team, Charlie.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, we've gotten better every year since we've been here. We started with a bunch of young players, mixed in with some veterans, and we concentrated on a nucleus to build on, and we've expanded that nucleus in each year. And you know, a year ago, we won five games, but we lost four other games on the last play of the game. We lost to Indianapolis, Tennessee, the Jets, and New England. I mean, God, who knows at the time, but they tied us on the last play of regulation and then beat us with 30 seconds to go in overtime. So, you know, who would you know? You know, how would you know they'd go on, and they still haven't been beaten since then. So we came into this year, we stumbled in the first two, we turned it over a lot, but then we came out, we beat Kansas City in Kansas City, which is hard to do. We beat the Raiders pretty convincingly, and then, you know, Minnesota, who I think is one of the top teams in the league, you know, we got beaten overtime there. So, you know, right now we're an exciting team to watch with our quarterback, David Carr, and Andre Johnson.
I know you don't like to say there's a moral victory, but I'm watching that game. I'm watching all the games last weekend. You guys are down 21. Dante Culpepper had already thrown four touchdowns.
Do you get a situation when you have
And the Texans came back to tie it and put it in overtime.
When you have an expansion team, Charlie, now in the NFL, when Don mentions you're road mapping the team to be at a certain place, Don says he's happy where the team is right now. Are you happy with where your team is right now in its progress?
Yeah, I am. And, you know, from a big picture, I am, because we're better now than we were a year ago. Obviously, you'd like to be better than 2-3 right now. You're always going to be hoping you can win more games. And but from a talent point of view, a competitive point of view, and pointing to the future, yeah, I'm very happy where we are. I mean, we in all five games this year, they've been in the fourth. We've been in it in the fourth quarter, and you know, two we won, two we lost, and one we lost in overtime. And that's the progress we've made. And, you know, and I think as long as we're healthy, we're going to be competitive against everybody we play.
And with no offense to the people you used to work for, you know, well, what Charlie did was go down to Houston before they even, you know, started, had a staff set up, had a coach that he had hired, had a vision for what the team was going to be doing. And I look at you guys now, I think second half, I hope I don't jinx you, but really, I think second half, you're a killer team. David Carr is really a top five NFL quarterback. Really, right now, today.
He's a guy that, you know, he was in an awkward situation when he came, in a sense. We weren't very good. Our first year, 10 of our 11 starters on offense had never started in the league before. So we truly were an expansion team on offense.
And how many times was he sacked in that
70
first year?
70-something times. You know, the poor guy got killed.
Wow.
And then, and here's the crazy thing now. We led the league in rushing attempts. So we tried to run the ball. And in year two, we got better. We reduced that by more than half. And really, before he got hurt last year, we were moving the ball, and you know, we're second in the AFC in offense behind the Colts, and you know, they're fantastic.
And that's football country down there too in Houston.
Well, it is now. This is Texas. You know, there's two sports here. Even though the Astros are doing great, there's still two sports. There's football and there's spring football.
Yeah,
and they joke about it, but I think there's a lot of truth in that.
I know that you won't want to get into specifics, but this weekend, the Texans go to Tennessee. Tennessee used to be the Houston Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of carryover do you have, maybe not from your players so much, but from the people of the city? They want to beat Tennessee, right?
Well, they want to beat Tennessee more than any team we play. And Dallas is certainly a huge rival here for us.
Right.
But Tennessee, you know, there's a bitterness there because the team was here for all those years and was taken away. And the fans have tremendous passion for that game. Obviously, the game's in Tennessee, so, you know, we're not going to have too many fans up there. But when we play the game here, I mean, it's a huge atmosphere. And they beat us on the last play of the game last year, 4th and 10. They converted a pass, ends up being a 24-yard touchdown pass to beat us. So, you know, we had the ultimate high and the ultimate low there in the last 30 seconds of the game. But that's a, you know, that's a huge rival for us, and our players understand that. So, you know, obviously that gives us extra emotion and motivation going to play them.
What is the single most challenging aspect of starting an NFL team from scratch? I mean, literally from the ground up. What's the most daunting task you face when you're trying to do that?
Well, I think, you know, you have to do so many things at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to design a facility, oversee the building of it. You have to hire an entire staff. You have to sign a whole football team.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that you have a certain nucleus to build with. You have to sign a whole team. So there's so many things, and they're all going on at the same time. That's the thing. They're all going on at the same time. So I think the balancing act there
you don't sleep
is
a lot,
the most difficult thing to do.
Yeah, that's a good question. How many hours, you know, we know Gibbs is back to sleep in 3 hours a night. How many hours a night do you sleep?
Well, I'm not sleeping. I can sleep a few more than three. Not many, though. but, you know, in the beginning, there wasn't much sleep. You know, now you're into a normal thing, you know. And I travel a bunch with scouting, so you don't get a lot of sleep during the season. You're on the go the whole time.
I would imagine for a general manager, though, that's got to be, in a way, it's got to be the absolute cherry assignment because you got the whole thing. You can do it from scratch. You can, you know, put your stamp on it. And you know, it's all you. I mean, you have to take the slings and arrows if they throw them at you. But it's got to be a fun job, too, I would imagine.
Well, it is. You know, it's kind of unique. I've been very lucky in my life. I was with the Redskins for 23 years, one of the great historic franchises.
Charlie, tell people how you started with the Redskins, because that to me is the most amazing part. Really, no kidding about how you started.
Well, it's a one in a million shot. I was a high school coach in Massachusetts, and I was trying to get into college coaching, and I wasn't having any success. So I says, well, let's just skip the colleges. We'll go right to the pros.
That's right.
So I wrote a letter to every team in the league. That's 1977 now. And there were 28 teams in the NFL, and I got 22 responses, which shocked me. I didn't think I'd get one letter back. I got 22 responses.
Wow.
And I got two interviews out of those 22 responses, which further shocked me.
Right.
And one was with New England, and one was with the Redskins. And my hero in coaching was George Allen. I was a high school coach at the time. And both deals were the same. Worked for nothing. They called them internships.
Right, wow. Right.
I thought an internship was something you worked in a hospital.
Yeah.
I had no idea what an intern. Now, of course, we have a different idea what an intern means in today's society than I did in 77.
Taking the jokes.
So I went to work for the Redskins, and the deal was you worked for nothing for a year. End of a year, if they liked you, they'd hire you for $10,000 to be a scout. Now, to put this in perspective, I'm 28 years old. I'm not married.
Right.
I have $500 in the bank. I have a car, a Chevy Nova, 1969 Chevy Nova,
wow.
That has 120,000 miles on it.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
Yeah.
I'm living, I'm renting a couple of rooms in a house, and 2 years before that, I lost everything I owned in a fire.
Ooh. Oh, my
so
God.
The only furniture I had no insurance when that happened, by the way.
Oh, I had no
idea. So the only furniture I have is some stuff from Goodwill and Salvation Army.
Oh, wow.
And the bed I had now was just a collapsed bed, and I was sleeping on a mattress on a floor. So this is the backdrop when I quit my job.
And
wow. Go to work for nothing.
Wow.
Go to work for nothing.
And
I worked there 8 months, and at the end of it, they hired me to be a scout. So that was 1977.
And from there all the way to general manager and then starting it with the Houston Texans. And, you know, I love football, Charlie, and I love watching all the teams. And, I'm just a big fat disc jockey, but I love what you guys are doing. And you're always great to us. We had one last thing to ask you.
Yeah.
We have Rich Eisen on our show every week.
Okay.
You know that smarmy guy?
I'm going to tell him you said that.
And I was wondering if you could record some type
of... Yeah, that's Dan Aykroyd, isn't it? Dan Aykroyd's lookalike.
There you go.
Yeah, if you would say... he's going to be on in about 2 hours.
He's on with us every single Friday.
We'd like to say, and now we're going to fire up Texans Cam or whatever that thing is they call and say,
that's right.
Here's Charlie Casserly with a message, so... Would you just...
Anything you want to say, you know, Charlie, you lived in this town long enough to know the Don and Mike show. You know what we're all about. We have fun. This is a comedy radio show. Anything you want to say to Rich
If you
Eisen.
Want to say he looks like Dan Aykroyd, I love that.
Yeah, I just said, hey, I guess the movie career didn't make it, so now you're doing NFL TV, huh?
Would you just start by saying, hi, Rich, this is Charlie Casserly.
Hi, Rich, this is Charlie Casserly. you're the only guy I've ever known that was in the movies with Dan Aykroyd, and now he changed his name to Rich Eisen to be on NFL Live.
There we go.
Beautiful. Thank you.
That's good.
All right.
We'll play that for Rich, Charlie.
We'll play that for him. Charlie, great talking to you. Mark my words. You're going to have a turnaround season, and I hope you'll take the phone call when the Texans make the playoffs.
Hey, when we take them when we're 2-3, we'll take them when we're in the playoffs.
I'm telling you, there's a moral victory, and then there's the way that your team came back last week. If you guys had won the coin toss, you would have won the game.
Charlie, good luck with the rest of the season.
Thanks a lot now.
All right, you bet.
Say bye now.
I'm telling you.
Thanks for bringing that up. I had no idea.
What a story.
That he did that.
And then literally, I mean, from the very bottom, worked his way up to one of the premier general managers. And a lot of people still say in this town that was the, that was the real problem. When Charlie left, that's when the Redskins started to have their problems.
Anyway, as you can tell, I'm a fan of his. He was very nice to me. Remembers where he came from. And anyway, let's go Houston.
I don't think Rich Eisen's going to actually, exactly cry when he hears that tape. But
you're not going to get Charlie Cassidy. Hey, this is Charlie Cassidy.
Yeah, hey, Rich, you big hump.
You're a horse's ass.
Right.
it's just not the way that he operates.
Right.
That's
a guy.
That's why I said what I was going to say.
I wish I could do a better impression of Charlie Cassidy, because then I could go on the phone and go, hey, Rich Eisen, this is Charlie Cassidy. I've heard the things you've said about me. It's not true. I'll never give you another interview in your life.
You know what we can do next week?
Yes, mommy creep.
You know what we can do next week with Eisen, though? Is because that's close enough to Regis,
right?
If we got you on the telephone,
hi, how are you, Rich?
Say hey, we can do this now every week with
you. Hey, Rich Eisen.
And you know what?
We're related.
We missed the chat. We should have had Ditka record a greeting for him as well. Hey, how you doing, fag? This is Mike Ditka.
Yeah, but he was too busy. He might have had to catch a plane.
I got to catch a plane. Good job.
Good job, boys. Got to get on the plane now.
See you. Listen, this news just in to the Don and Mike show. Not real news. But it's show news.
Perks up my ears.
That we'll have as a late minute joiner to the show today. I don't even know the guy. I don't even know the guy's name. The guy that was fired on The Apprentice last night.
Okay. The Apprentice still getting great ratings.
I don't watch it. You don't watch it. But 20 million other people watch it.
Well, aren't we going to rely on our listeners to help us today?
Yes, this is the plan. That when this guy, and I hope Beth Ann brings me his name, I'm sure she'll bring me his name. When she brings me the name, and then we're just going to turn it over to you. If you watch The Apprentice, you ask the questions, because we don't know what to ask.
No.
I mean, we didn't watch the show.
I mean, it would be very tiresome if everyone we had on was, what's it feel like to get fired?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Beth Ann. His name is John.
John.
His name is John.
That guy.
He got kicked off last
John
night.
John what, Rob?
I don't know.
Johnny on the spot. How are you, kid?
Johnny Metro. Johnny.
They don't give his last name on the website.
His name is John.
Just John.
Well, maybe that's why he got fired.
Johnny. But don't call now. He's not on next.
No.
I'm just telling you that's a bit of an audible. We're going to go with him. Cool. When we come back, now, you will want to stay tuned for this. Jacqueline Stallone.
How are you, boy?
She is Sly Stallone's mom.
Like I'm my dogs.
She is also a psychic.
She's also a little ornery.
Yeah, and she's a great crazy old lady who always wraps her head in those
turbans.
In those turbans, and then wears feather boas all the time.
She's a medium, and remember, we found out today that she can tell your fortune by reading your butt.
That's right.
Really?
She's a butt reader.
And her dogs also communicate with her?
And her dogs are psychic, and her dogs will predict the outcome of the election today on this show.
She pulls no punches.
And she's Sly Stallone's mother.
Nick.
And really, very, very well preserved for many decades she's been alive.
Sure. Oh, break me off a piece of that.
She's almost as good looking as Charlie Cassidy is.
Charlie Cassidy.
We'll be back with Jackie Stallone.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, you guys had shirts on when you came in here.
There's something happened to him, Mom.
Come on, Spicoli, just put the shirts back on. You see that sign?
No shirt, no shoes, no ties.
Right. Learn it. Know it. Live it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, company.
Get out of here, Curtis. I don't hear you unless you knock.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right, right.
Did anyone ever tell you you were a moron?
Sanitized for your protection. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
When Richard's on later today, he'll be brought to us by Tower.
Ah.
TowerRecordsTower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of music and the movies you love than Tower and Tower.com. So this is a wild track that we got from Charlie Casserly.
Oh, it's wild, boy.
For Rich Eisen.
Hi, Rich. This is Charlie Casserly. You're the only guy I've ever known that was in the movies with Dan Aykroyd, and now he changed his name to Rich Eisen to be on NFL Live.
Wild.
I don't get it.
Well, he's wild. Well, he's...
You think that Rich looks like Dan Aykroyd?
I guess so.
No, no, Rob. I don't think he was drinking.
Yeah, okay, Mike.
Okay, Mike.
Seriously, like he wouldn't be drinking at 3:15 in Houston on a Friday afternoon before a Sunday game.
Man, how do you like that? Give me another cocktail.
Yeah, I was just on the phone with those guys. God, that tastes good. God, that tastes good.
Pressure me up, will you?
Jackie Stallone.
Baby!
Here we go. Now, it was back in the day.
Back in the day where she rolled into our studio.
We had her on the show first in person and then in many telephone conversations. She looks wise. You know the lady that was on Who's the Boss? Who was the mom on Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
The same lady that was on Soap?
Sure.
On a good
day. Catherine Helman?
Yes, Catherine Helman. On a good day, I imagine if she had hair.
Right.
That's what Jacqueline Stallone might look like.
He's saying there's a chance she might not have any hair?
She's interesting. She I recall there was the WI. There was the wig issue.
Well, we weren't sure because she had the turban, but she's and she's got a little sly in her. You can see Sylvester Stallone with the... She's kind of got that sneer happening, nice. You know, but... Well, we had her on over 10 years ago.
Oh, Mike, it was at the other station over 15 years ago, and one of the reasons we had her on was... It was when her son had forbid her from doing any publicity, so she was going out.
Frank Stallone.
No, it was the other one.
Frank.
No, Sly.
Sly forbid her?
Yes, it was Sly.
Yes.
She was embarrassing Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, that's right.
By going on shows and showing what a kook she was.
Well, I'd be interested to know with Jacqueline Stallone what Sly is up to.
One thing that I found out, I've spoken to her or listened to her quite a few times this week, and I'm not able to confirm whether or not she remembers coming on with you guys.
Well, she probably does.
It doesn't matter.
So.
But what's important is that she reads people's butt cheeks.
She does that. Her dogs also are mediums.
And her dogs will be predicting the outcome of the presidential election.
Wasn't she involved in wrestling at some point, too?
Beyond being a fan?
I think she had something to do with it. She's been involved in a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she will deny this, but there are rumors in the medium world that she's going to start a new infomercial.
An infomercial?
Yeah. She'll deny it, though.
Well, I hope that's true. She's ready for the call on the air?
Yeah, she's ready to receive your call.
She's got a website and everything?
Yes, she do. She's pretty. Actually, Bugs will probably bring up her picture. JacquelineStallone.com.
1310. Okay.
She doesn't mince words, this woman.
No, she do like...
I remember correctly.
Crazy psychic, mother of Sly Stallone, Jacqueline Stallone.
Maybe we can see how Sly's doing, too.
Hello?
Yes?
Jackie, hi, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, here I am.
There you are.
Jackie. Hello, beautiful.
Hi.
That's whatever. Chicago?
How's it going?
Fine. How's the weather in Chicago?
Well, we're in Washington, D.C.,
I'm in Washington, D.C., my hometown. Am I crazy? I just got through all Chicago.
Oh, you just got done with Chicago? Mike, yes. There's the website. JackieStallone.com.
Wow, that's a great picture of you, Jacqueline.
Was that nice? And does it place? It's me. I mean, totally unretouched.
Right. You know, you're not wearing a turban. The last time we saw you, you were very into wearing the...
I was going with a boyfriend who insisted I have a turban, look a little bit weird, look like a psychic all the time. I don't know. What it did is it got... Attention, got him the attention. I know it now.
Yeah, but look at you with that beautiful head of hair.
Long hair.
I own my own hair.
Wow.
Really?
Nice. It has hair you can sit on.
So you never wore a wig?
No. But I had a boyfriend who insisted that you go out looking ostentatious with a great big turban. And one time I didn't feel like combing the hair, so in a pinch you just stick it under a turban and it passes.
There you go. Well, that's a nice star power, a nice little website you have.
Isn't it neat?
You ditched that guy, right?
It is nice.
Is there a man in your life now?
Well, certainly. Come on. I married a young neurosurgeon 5 years ago.
You did? And how long?
Sylvester.
So his name is Sylvester?
No, he's the same age.
Oh, the same age.
I don't want anyone old. I'm old myself. I don't want someone I've got with a bad back and is... Fries a Maya lantern, everything hurts. I mean, I want somebody that's alive.
You know, I must ask you because, you know, you don't ask a lady this question, but I'll ask just to see if you'll answer. May I ask how young you are, Jacqueline?
What a tactful way of saying it.
Thank you.
It depends on who's asking. I'll tell you when I want to...
Depends.
When I die. They can read my bitch. Now, marrying a neurosurgeon, I said, Sylvester, what am I going to do if he ever finds out how old I really am? I've been lying so many years. He said, this is a good excuse to stay alive. I said, don't let him know that I'm on Social Security. If I get sick, Sylvester, you rush to the hospital, take that damn bracelet off my wrist, put another one on, and pay the bill. I mean, I don't want to blow my end.
You don't? Okay. No. So she's not, but that's, it's your prerogative, Jacqueline, of course.
Who's else?
Right. Yes.
Ava, what a sweet...
I'm hurting.
You know, God forbid, you know, when the time comes, I'm sure you get a great discount.
Well, when the time comes, I'm sure I won't miss my appointment.
That's very true. JacquelineStallone.com is the website. Before we talk about your dogs and the fact that you can read people's butts...
I know. I'm telling you, since, I don't know, a big spread came out in the newspaper and London, a magazine, and it seems like everyone wants their rear end read. I don't understand it. You know what it is? It's the only part of their anatomy they can't see, and they're not going to ask for a second opinion on it. You know, when you read a palm, you want a second opinion.
Sure.
It's right there under your nose, but the other, like I say, now watch this feature, watch this line on the right side as it makes a change. I can see all these men and women bending over having their best friend. Do you see this line going this direction or that? Where on your palm you can see it. In the right hand, you can see it changing.
All I know is that if I had my butt read, I would probably get in a tub.
No.
Oh, scrub up,
no,
right?
No. I mean, if my butt was real red.
Oh, it was red.
It was R-E-D.
A red butt joke.
R-E-D, not R-E-A-D.
Jacqueline, when did you start reading...
Third
oh, dear God. When did you start reading butts?
I want to tell you something. I used to read palms and fingerprints for the police department in Philadelphia, and they gave me my first printing machine. Would you believe it?
Wow.
No.
Now, then I wanted to take a step further as a psychic and astrologer. I wanted to go and see if the lines verified what the stars said.
How about that?
And then someone said, well, in India, they still use all of this, so body images. I mean, there's no such thing as a MRI in those countries, in Bombay, so I went there. And they take this henna powder, and to this day it's used. They put water in the women just sit on it, and they put the palm prints and the footprints, and that's exactly what the doctor reads, and it changes. The right cheek, don't forget, the left side of your body, and your left hand, your left foot, and your left brain, you've heard of. Why did you know you have a left brain, right brain?
Uh-huh.
You have a left hand, palm, and a right palm. Now, you know the left brain is your past, and the right side of your brain is the future, and also your talents and potentials that you brought out into the open.
Mm-hmm.
The left hand, you know yourself. Just look at your left hand, what you came into the world with, your left foot too. And it doesn't change. The right continues to change as your left changes. Why do people understand that? But
we are talking about...
part of your anatomy or not?
Right. But we're talking about butts, not hands, right?
Well, no, we're going to go on down the body.
Oh,
and there we go down to the rear end, which is your left rear end and your right cheek.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have a dividing line there, too, just like chops in two.
Right.
A left foot and a right foot, and it has a footprint. Now, do you know whether you're left brain or right brain? Start walking, both of you, and see which foot goes first.
All right, hold on a second.
Two of you together, let's see. Both of you take about 5 steps.
I always start walking with my left foot.
I always start with my right foot.
You do?
Yes, I do, Don, I do.
Okay, one's a right brain and one's a left brain.
All right, well, so if you start walking with your left foot, obviously your left brain?
Yeah, your left brain. It means basically, now I know your whole life story already. You basically are a highly secretive person with a lot of hidden talent.
Right or left brain?
Which one are you talking about, Jack?
The left brain, the left foot.
Oh, this is you, Mike.
I'm highly secretive?
The left secret you're behind.
Yes, absolutely secretive. Yes.
Wait, now hold on. No, wait.
A mystery.
Oh, Jesus.
He is a walking enigma.
What do you mean I'm secretive? I'm not secretive.
Well, certainly you're not on TV, but let's say the left brain. What is locked up in that brain in your head? Don't forget, I married a neurosurgeon.
Right.
Very interesting. It verifies all the things I say and had said for years.
Mm-hmm.
He's even left brain.
He's left brain, huh?
Of course, you have the no-brainers, which is very popular today.
Those are the people that hop,
right? One is the right-brainer. That's the extrovert.
That's me. Hi.
You're the one who's... It's all out on the table, isn't it?
Yes. Well, right now it is. You bet.
Don starts walking
now
with his right
now
foot.
Boys are going to start... Why is it that behind basically reveals your subconscious, your emotions...
Your hygiene...
I don't go into that.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That's
sorry.
Mike,
sorry about that.
Mike, shock jock.
Why is it that men and women are all fascinated with behinds? How much time do you spend, if you're walking down the street and you see a great looking rear end, you don't care what the rest looks like, whether it's a male or female. You want to see?
That's right.
You just want to know more about it. It intrigues you why.
I do.
It intrigues you.
All your resources are there.
Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Really? Wait, and you're behind?
I didn't think so.
All your resources are there?
All your emotions, all your talents, all your potentials. People say, well, what about a lose weight? Well, does that change your mind and attitude? Behind is attitude, too. Now, I don't know how you boys are using it.
Or how we're using our behinds?
Yeah.
Well, we're trying to use our behinds to the very best of our ability.
I'm going to raise it that. My father, I wish he were alive today. He was in physical fitness. He would love this. He was a trial attorney in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
So I grew up in Washington. Are you there?
Yes. Okay. I thought you were going to tell a story about your father.
And this is not totally stranded, are you?
No, we're here. We're here.
Okay.
So where does that get into the behind thing?
All right. Why is it you're more fascinated but you're behind them? What sun signs are you boys?
Don, what sign are you?
I'm a Virgo, ma'am.
Yes, and the other one?
And Mike, this is Mike. I'm a Cancer.
No kidding.
Well, what does that mean?
Virgo is the one who's all locked up in the left brain.
No, with his right foot.
No, Jackie, I'm the right-footed one.
I'll tell you, we used to say, if you want a job done right, Hire a Virgo.
That's a company. True. Well, what about a Cancer?
Well, Sylvester's a Cancer. What's wrong with a Cancer? I will say this about Cancer. George Bush is Cancer.
Really?
I'll say...
I agree with that.
People, the Cancer signs own more money than any other sign in the zodiac. Complain the most, but have more money.
Yeah, I do complain a lot.
Is your You mentioned your son is a Virgo.
I said Cancer.
Son of Sly is
a Cancer. I'm sorry.
Cancer.
Has your son had a comment on your new side business with the...
And he has known it. He grew up with it. That's how I sent him to college doing this. I didn't just discover this. I have went to school, let's say, since 1950. I have been doing this every day. This is how I sent my son to college.
And how are you getting along with your... How are you getting along?
From my house. Oh, I didn't have any husband supporting me.
Right.
Yep.
Now I get a doctor who can when I don't need it.
You're married to a neurosurgeon, right?
Yes.
Discount. How have you been getting along with your famous son, Sylvester?
Always got along. Let's say they're still children to me. You know, I talked to him like I would do yesterday. He was always actually unique. As soon as he'd walk in the house, I'd tell him the crisis of the family, and we'd sit down and go over the crisis of the family. He was the problem solver and always has been. We all live in the same neighborhood.
At what age did you start reading Sylvester's bottom to lead him to the life that he's at now?
Now, look, let's get... Are you getting technical? What are you aiming for? And I'll give it to you in a nutshell.
Okay, what I want to know is you mentioned that you...
What age did I know that he had a rear end?
Did your psychic abilities, Jacqueline, assist Sylvester in his movie career?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell us how.
Very simple. Every day, these kids knew I did it for a living. So basically, and Sylvester was terrible in school. He was thrown out about 17. We even lived in Washington, D.C. for a while with him, and he was thrown out of all the Catholic schools because he happened to take, the crucifix of his sister's bedroom off and dragged it home. It was about 4 feet long and hid it under the bed, and Sister Rosie calls from Washington, D.C., and Mrs. Stallone, you know where the crucifix is. I said, what do I know about the crucifix? I suggest you look under your bed. No, I knew Sylvester was unique then.
Then he stole the crucifix, huh?
Yes. Was thrown out of school at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, and so then, then I put him in another Catholic school. You boys, you must be Catholics.
Yeah, we're both Catholics.
We used to be, right.
All right, sure. I put him in the famous St. John's, which you have right on Georgia Avenue.
Right.
So, one towards Silver Spring.
Right, mm-hmm. Good.
And they, another one tossed him out. Why? He was only 9. It seems as though he was trying to impress a girl. Uh-huh. Must have been 9 as well.
Right.
And he was trying to show up to get attention, which he still does to this day. So
yes, yes.
What did he... In the trash barrel, you know, that, and fell head first and couldn't get out. So the nuns expelled him, said he was too promiscuous at 9.
What did he do to the trash barrel?
He fell head first into it. You know the big trash cans they have in schoolyards?
Yeah. He was following a girl and fell into a trash can.
He was trying to make her and, you know, impress, but he was just bending over the trash can to get something out, and he fell head first. And the nuns had to pull him out, and they expelled him. So that was the end of his Catholic education.
Okay.
Jacqueline, what say you about, enough about the butt, your dog.
Let's move on.
Your dogs are also telepathically linked with you?
They're channelers.
Well, tell us about your dogs. How many do you have, and what are their names?
I have 3, and I never knew it until the past election with George Bush and all the others. And what happened, I've been to the Middle East with his father, who basically is very well respected on foreign politics. I mean, now, I'm not political at all.
Right.
I look at these men and say, who would I, if I had to sleep with them in the same bed and look at them for 4 years, who would I tolerate, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm curious.
Election skills.
Let's stop right there. Taking the psychic dogs out of it. Who would you sleep with for 4 years?
Yeah, who would you prefer?
George Bush.
George Bush.
Mm-hmm. I married a man that's the same age and looks like him.
Yeah, all right. Okay, good.
So what's wrong with that?
Nothing. We were just asking, ma'am.
Nothing at all.
Would you choose? You would choose Bush.
Nothing else. So your dogs can predict the election?
Yes, they do.
Really?
Are your dogs there with you, ma'am?
They live with me. They just had a ballet lesson.
What are you doing?
Ballet lessons every morning. They've been on TV around the world.
Wow. Don't you remember how much we used to really love just chatting?
One of the greatest radio interviews you'd ever
remember
get.
Remember the old days we'd have to like stop to play a record? We don't have to stop to play a record.
No, we can just let Jacqueline talk about everything.
Tell us about the ballet for your dogs.
My dogs, listen, they wear tutus. You're going to see a very steady TV show very soon that you'll see them. The dogs have been asked by a certain TV if they will do a love column where people will call in and my dogs will channel the answers on their love life.
That's great.
Well, they do. They've been doing it in Brazil for a long time.
I bet they have.
Of course.
What are your dogs' names, Jacqueline?
Well, did you see the pictures of them? They're triplets.
Oh, is that on the website?
I'll find the pictures.
You didn't see them yet?
No.
Picture gallery? No, I was...
WJacquelineSloan.com.
We've got our guy Buzz...
Family...
On the
album. You see a picture. I know you'll do it now when I tell you. There's a picture of me naked in the bathtub.
That one I found.
Oh, yeah.
See that, Buzz.
But not the dog.
Now, just a second. I'm looking for the dogs now. Here we go. I hear it.
You don't show anything, do you?
In
the bathtub?
And the doggies.
The dog.
What are they? Little chihuahua? What are they? Little Dobermans?
A miniature Doberman.
Miniature Dobermans. And what are their names?
There's Hannah, Rachel, and Friday.
Buzz, go to the shot of the bathtub.
There it is. That is fetching. That is fetching.
Baby.
That's my Christmas card I send out.
Now, when was that picture taken?
When was it?
Yes.
When I was a brunette. Obviously. I've since changed my hair to red. What's left?
It is obvious.
Looks like she's about to get a reading.
I had just done a TV show and they made me up so nice about the sin to wash my face. Let me have a picture taken of myself. And I thought, what are you trying to do? So I had someone take a picture of me in the bathtub. Now you're going to wonder who?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you my psychic dogs did it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, did you read the other day this dog pulled a gun on somebody and accidentally shot it? A robber by accident? He really did.
Yeah, yeah. I heard that on the news. How about that? Jacqueline?
What?
Your dogs, can you tell us right now?
Jacqueline.
Could you please tell us?
Boys, come on.
Okay, Jacqueline.
Yes, please tell us.
The prediction your dogs have, can you tell us now definitively, less than 3 weeks, who's going to win the election?
Yes, and don't forget, I have more going on this than any psychic astrologer in the world, because 4 years ago, when Bush was running, my dog flew in on national air and predicted he would win within 200 votes, and no one believed it in a million years. As a matter of fact, I was a joke. No one would put their career on the line. I'm putting it on the line. I've already sent it on the wires a year ago, so
right.
Nothing new. He will win by 15 points.
Who? Which guy?
Bush.
Wow. Bush is going to win again.
Bush will win by 15. Now, which one?
I did Arnold Schwarzenegger when he was just a joke. He said, I'll run for office if Sylvester run. Two, I said, listen, Arnold, you're going to run. You're going to get it. Jay Leno, everyone made fun of me. I said, listen here. I said, the dogs said they would, so they won. Jay Leno said, well, I'll send someone over to interview the dogs. I said, the dogs were very insulted. They said, I'm not going to be interviewed.
Oh, your dogs
would. My email.
So your dogs refused to be on Jay Leno.
Now, you said 15 points. You mean 15%?
15%.
Well, he's going to win by 15%.
That's huge.
I'm going to find out that the last 5 hours are going to really triple.
Day. Now, which of your dogs is the predominant one? There are three of them, and I think like at the movie...
They're triplets.
Minority Report, where you had the three precogs.
Is there a top dog?
A top dog?
Yeah. Yeah, and any one particular dog that's more psychic than the others?
You know, you they're on shows so often, and they've been on Keith Olbermann. Now, you know, they've been live on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
What happens... Believe it or not, and Keith, you'll see the show, he's playing it over and over and over because they have elections suddenly. But they turn their rear end. If they don't like the answer, they don't like your attitude, they just give you their backside.
Really?
Well, I know. Once again, we're back to the butt again.
Mm-hmm. We're right back to that again.
Just read them.
We're back to that. Now, Jacqueline...
carries a lot of weight.
All right, well, thank you first for giving us the exclusive, and this is a nationwide show.
Yes, her dogs have predicted that President Bush will win by 15%.
If I may ask you...
They did that... 4 years ago and said that he'd win twice and go down in history as a very fine president. Now, I'm not a person. I make a lot of enemies, too, because people seem to think that I can change my mind. I refuse to.
Right.
That isn't me. That's the way it is. And I guess if it doesn't come out right, it'll be the first time I'm wrong, and I'll just have to change their diet, that's all.
Well, Jacqueline Stallone, we love having you on the show.
Thank you much.
If we might have you on after the election, especially if you are correct, and Buzz on the computer now has enlarged the photo of you in the bathtub.
I sure have. It's my new wallpaper. Well, that is a fetching photograph, Jacqueline.
Did you see Sylvester's website and Frankie's? They follow mine.
Oh, are they linked to yours? We'll make sure. We'll put that link up on our website as well.
SylvesterStallone.com, FrankStallone.com.
Well, that's wonderful.
I think it's nice.
And Jacqueline, nice having you on the show again.
Nice, too. It's so nice to talk to anyone from Washington, D.C. It's nostalgic.
We love having you on the show. You're always a pleasure.
And much love.
The last time I was on the show, a week before Christopher Reeve, he and I were on the show, a TV show there. And listen, we made the predictions there. That show was the fold-up. It's one of your top night shows. I can't think of the name.
Right.
Ron Fitzwater, myself, Christopher Reeves, a couple of politicians.
Right.
Right, Jacqueline.
We making predictions for the show, and they were going to close that night. I said, no, you're going to be something better than ever. And do you know, they've been going for 10 years.
Wow.
Hey, that's something.
See you.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that something? Jacqueline, it's great talking to you. Have a very pleasant weekend, and we hope to talk to you after the election.
And stay in touch.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, JacqueLouStallone.com.
Yes.
That's the website.
You keep her on longer. I thought you were going to say something else to her.
No.
I remember that.
I love her.
She's the best.
She's very good. I hope
she looks good in that tub, too.
I hope she remembers to clean the trap out in that tub.
Oh, Rob.
She has no choice. She has to.
Oh, God.
And now you know why Stallone became the star that he is. Mama read his belt when he was a little boy.
Yeah, and you heard the prediction. Let's say we'll hold her to that. We'll see what happens.
15%.
50%.
And remember, right. She got her start in the police departments in Philadelphia.
How old do you think she is? She's got to be close
80,
to 80.
Pushing 80.
I would say that 80 is before her, but I'd say 78's in the rear view mirror.
got a break here. Now, listen, okay, this is not a phone scan. But I am going to give out the phone number, 877-365-3636. When we come back, we've still not been able to find the guy's last name. The guy is John, who got fired from The Apprentice last night.
Okay.
He will be on our show exclusively when we come right back. We don't know what to ask him.
If you're a big Apprentice fan, this is
now's
your opportunity to chat with the guy that you watched last
now's
night.
Now's the time to call and help us save this break. We'll be, because Charlie Casserly, we got that covered.
Yeah. Yes.
Jackie Stallone.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Got it covered.
Mm-hmm.
Dude from The Apprentice.
Help?
Not a clue. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
So, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Something gay, no doubt. What? You know, light-hearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
The Don and Mike Show. They always play the tired card. Don and Mike.
Yeah. All right, this guy, John, from The Apprentice.
Young John.
Johnny, Big Bad John. Ralph John. J-Man. He's not calling yet.
He isn't?
No, but Beth Ann says at any moment. So all you people that are wanting to talk to him, just let the phone ring. We'll get to you. I promise we'll get to you.
John will be here.
I think I have something of equal importance.
Really?
Yes. How you can help Martha Stewart.
I've always wanted to, but I just don't know what I can do.
Now, here's the deal. When Martha's in the Hooskow.
Martha and Maggie. Her girlfriend.
Martha Rhino from yesterday's show, right?
Right.
When the real Martha Stewart.
Yes.
In jail, she only has a certain allowance to go to the cafeteria to buy Reese's peanut butter cups.
All right.
And stuff like that.
Okay.
So, now you would think that she'd have the money for this to put in her account.
Right.
If you do as I did, and you go to MarthaStewart.com,
mm-hmm.
you are led to a link to SaveMartha.com. There, they've posted an address where you can send. Now, it starts off, my computer here, of course, shocked, is not
right.
running at speed, and buzzes out of the room doing something else right now, so I can't ask him to go to the site.
Okay, all right.
But I went to the site at home, where I have a computer that works. You pull up the site, SaveMartha.com,
mm-hmm.
and it says, send her letters of encouragement. And then it also says, but that's not all you can send.
It's not next to the Buzz's wife's website.
No, I know I said Marsha.
SaveMartha.com.
I know I said.
It's also very valuable.
Yeah, although we do need one of those sites.
We sure do.
Because one of these weekends, he's going to come in and say, oh, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah, and it'll be our fault.
She tripped down some stairs.
For ignoring her.
Whatever. So Save Martha. You go there. Here's Buzz now.
Yes.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
We were just discussing Save Marsha, the website for your wife.
I didn't know there was one.
Yes,
SaveMartha.com.
That's very disturbing.
Well, it's those of us who are really concerned.
So let me get to this. We go to SaveMartha.com, and it says, write her letters.
Mm-hmm.
Cheer her up. Then one paragraph below it says, but that's not all you can do to help Martha.
Mm.
You can send money for Martha's prison commissary account. See, because Martha...
Mm-hmm. What?
Because Martha can buy food and other stuff in the commissary, but any work she does in the prison is only going to pay her between 12 cents and 30 cents an hour.
So you can actually send money into her account?
Yes.
Isn't that bogus? Poor little rich girl.
Buzz, if you would please go, now that you're back in the room, go to SaveMartha.com.
Sure.
And you'll see, like I did at home this morning, that there's an icon that you click there.
Oh, my
and
God.
Incidentally, for those of you who don't have your internet right now.
Could she just have a friend of hers, like, call into the account then, as opposed to having people contribute?
Here's how it is. If you want to send money to Martha in prison, the site links you to this address. Not a joke.
Unbelievable.
Martha Stewart. Inmate 55170-054,
mm-hmm.
FPC Alderson,
right.
Glen Ray Road, Box B.
Box A.
Well, it says Box B on my list.
On the website here, it says Box A.
Oh, well, I got
now there's confusion.
Wouldn't want it to go into the wrong box.
Wrong box, right. Alderson, West Virginia.
Maybe somebody's playing with it.
24910.
And so send her money.
And
one of the richest women in the world.
And believe it or not, the great unwashed The same people, I'm guessing, that go out and play the lottery when they live in mobile homes down in Homestead, Florida, are sending their money to Martha Stewart so she can buy Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
My God. Yeah. Well, there should be a law.
Don't send her the Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. It says on the website that no packages of any kind can be accepted. So just send the letters or, you know, money.
Doesn't this domestic diva deserve a Mars bar?
But here's my point. She's a rich lady anyway. Yes. Couldn't she have one person go into her account and send her some money?
Yes. And that's exactly why I brought...
So they're doing it on the cheap.
This is why I brought this to your attention. Of course, she allegedly is going to sign a $5 million book deal.
Right.
She just sold a bunch of stock before she went to jail.
Yeah, she's rolling in it.
She's got enough money that she could say to her lawyer or her manager, hey, put $100 a week in my account.
Exactly.
So I can buy some Reese's Pieces.
There's something wrong with this picture.
Well, what's wrong with this picture is that she knows how dumb her fans are.
So why should she contribute if it's perfectly legal?
That's right.
She's probably just... this is sick.
From what I can tell, this was set up by one of her fans. In fact, a male fan by the name of John Small. And it opens with a beautiful quote from Martha that says, I would like to be back as early in March as possible to plant a spring garden to truly get things growing again. And then underneath that is a countdown that says, and it's ticking off, 141 days, 8 hours, 5 minutes, and now 16 seconds until Martha is free.
So anyway, I stumbled upon that today. Look if you like. If you want to buy her some candy.
Until Martha is free.
Do I?
With no real thought about the fact that Martha did something wrong.
And incidentally, they would like the money. If you're going to send money, mm-hmm. please send a money order.
A money order. So she can go to the commissary and buy more stuff than her fellow. Well, you know what?
That's right.
If she wasn't going to get hassled in prison before... She might get hassled in prison now.
It's the end of the week, and I've got a lot of stuff to get to. We're still waiting for the apprentice guy to call. If you're on one of the 18 lines that's ringing, the guy's 5 minutes late, so we apologize about that.
And if you go further into the website, you can not only buy the Save Martha T-shirt, but you can sign the petition asking President Bush to pardon Martha.
Oh, God. All that's garbage, fan garbage, but the part about sending her money.
Yeah,
and people are doing it.
Yes, they are. Also, I wanted to mention at some point this week about Rodney Dangerfield's funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I saw the footage on TV with the pallbearers. It was a star stud. It was Adam Sandler was a pallbearer.
All stand-up comedians.
Let me see. Dice, Carl Reiner, Larry David, Jerry Stiller, and Ann Mira. Here's what you're not going to get like I didn't get. Mm. I have a list of people who are at Rodney's funeral. I should mention Jim Carrey was a pallbearer. If I didn't mention it, Adam Sandler was, Rob Schneider was, Michael Bolton was.
Michael Bolton, there's a wild card.
He was supposed to sing, but he got too choked up.
Sorry.
Also, Chris Rock was there. George Carlin was there. Jane Meadows, both Murray brothers, Bill Murray and
Brian Doyle. I thought it was a wonderful idea to go to Rodney's funeral.
Brian Doyle Murray.
Steve's not alive any longer, but Rodney was an icon, and I'm going to be there in the front row, the first two pews to support it.
Norm Crosby, etc. Now, you have all of those stars and all those big comedy stars that were there. Let me just give you some of the names again. Jim Carrey, Adam Sandler, Rob Schneider. Okay, I'm going to put him on the list. George Carlin, Chris Rock, Larry David, Carl Reiner, Jay Leno, like him or not, and Jerry Stiller and Ann Mira. Yet out of all of those people, I've not mentioned one who actually hosted the entire service. Bob Saget.
Oh, my. Bob Saget hosted the service.
Correct.
Wow.
I have no comment. I've just been waiting all week to tell you that.
Saget on the Zoom.
Is this the guy from The Apprentice? The guy? Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, everybody. Let's welcome now to the show. We know that his time is brief with us. We appreciate it because he's in that 15 minutes of that, you know, he's been on The Apprentice last night. Here's John. Hi, John.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me. I know they're running me all around today, but I always got time for you guys.
Well, I appreciate it, John. And rather than have us ask questions, if you wouldn't mind...
We're gonna put you on with some of our rabid fans. Is that all right?
We have...
And they're rabid fans. They're rabid fans.
I'm very afraid. Bring it on, please.
They're rabid fans of The Apprentice, and that's who we're letting handle this.
These calls come all the way from D.C. to Las Vegas. Here we go. Let's just get to it.
you just got to tell them to be kind. I wear men's clothing. I don't know women's fashion well.
All right. We'll start with Caitlin. Hello, Caitlin. What did you want to ask John, who was fired last night on The Apprentice?
Hi, John. Hey, Hi. This is basically just a sort of call of support. I just thought that it seemed like Kelly sort of was a little overbearing. Did you feel that he kind of took away your chance to shine in that task?
Well, you know, Kelly's a good guy, but, you know, he comes from a military background, so, I mean, you definitely kind of get that militaristic attitude, and sometimes when, I mean, women's fashion is a creative process, and it takes a little bit of mucking around, as you saw, Raj, with some of the fabrics there, but, you know, he gets kind of short-tempered with that stuff, so.
All right, let me
bothered me a little bit, but Kelly's a good guy.
Let me fly through these and find, let's see, here is Teddy in Las Vegas. Teddy, go ahead. You were John, nice enough to join us today, fired last night by Donald Trump. Go ahead, Teddy.
Okay, I actually have two brief questions. First question, is Donald Trump's hair as truly distracting in person or more distracting in person?
All right, answer that one first. First, we'll let you answer your answer. What about that, John?
You put me on the spot here. I got people yelling at me if I talk about those things.
All right.
No, it's remarkable. All I can say is Donald in person is better than Donald on TV.
All right, what's your other question?
Well, actually, I was wondering if when looking at Donald, do you get this?
All right, we just stop it with that. Let's go to Juliet in California. Juliet.
Hey, John, I love you guys.
Thank you.
Yo, John, dude, two questions. Did you lose complete focus and track when you guys were around the models and stuff? Because I don't understand why you weren't involved in a lot more decision-making. Also, why didn't you bring the other guy that was in there that was involved in the pricing? I mean, what was that just like what?
All right, good question.
All right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
People are passionate, John.
I'm not sure I caught the first part of that question, but let me answer the second part.
She said, were you distracted by the models last night?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to have to be honest with you guys a little bit. When you're working that hard and you're up that late, you know, it was nice to be able to see the models. But I'll stand by my business back decision to bring them in for a fitting.
All right.
But, no, as far as Wes goes, you know, a lot of people have been asking me why I didn't bring Wes in, and, you know, it's actually something I answered in the boardroom, and I'm sorry that didn't make it on the air, but, you know, Wes had come up, and he actually apologized off camera to me before the boardroom that, you know, he'd actually made a mistake in pricing, and, you know, he took ownership of that, and that, to me, in business is big. Kelly, on the other hand, Kevin, on the other hand, did not take ownership of that, never believed there was a mistake in pricing, and I thought that spoke to his character, so I decided to bring him in.
I see your risky boardroom strategy led to bite you in the ass. Is it that's what they have on the NBC side? Is that how you?
Now the boardroom's where you go in there, and that's
right, with Donald Trump, right? And George and Carolyn. Let's go to Dan in Vermont. Dan, you're on with John from The Apprentice. Dan.
Hey, John. I enjoyed watching you on The Apprentice. I also thought it was interesting how you guys worked pretty hard on the fashion. My big question, though, is how have you been?
How have you been? No, now that's silly. Now stop.
Let's go to Becky. Hi, Becky. Becky, you're on with John from The Apprentice.
Hey, John, Mike. I love you both.
Thank you.
And my question for John is, why did you think you were the strongest player? Because you said that in your recap of why you got fired. So why did you think you were a strong player in the game?
All right, go ahead, John.
Absolutely. I think what I bring to this game is kind of a risk-taking attitude, and I think, you know, the reason I was cast is because I'm one of the most competitive people in the bunch. Right away from the first task, I know that sometimes I was kind of in the shadows, and that was just because I was tackling all the jobs that weren't necessarily kind of the most notoriety, but were the hard jobs that need to get done for the team to be successful.
What's John?
All those tough jobs.
John, let me ask you: what's your background? What is your? Because I wanted to get your background. Where do you? What do you do in the real world?
Sure, absolutely. I design women's clothing. No.
No. Really, what do you really do?
I worked for a magazine out of San Francisco. It's called the Rodgers Journal. It's a little automotive magazine, and I was in marketing for them, as well as getting some real estate projects started out in San Francisco. So
let's get one more call in here. Here's Mike calling from Houston, Texas. Mike, you're on with John from The Apprentice.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I just wanted to find out, those that like playing tennis with McEnroe and especially Anna Kournikova last week.
Oh, God, it was that will always have a soft spot in my heart. Kournikova is every bit
as beautiful in person as she is on camera.
Wow.
And I think Roz usurped us all when he stepped up there and hit on her. We were all a bit jealous.
We just say, Mike in Houston, that's a good question.
You know,
I thought it would be.
Every guy, there's something about Anna Kournikova. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this room, we all just simultaneously went,
stop.
Yeah.
Okay, one more.
It's as great in person as you imagine.
All right.
Wow. Let's get one more, and it's Charlie in California. Last call here for John from The Apprentice. Charlie, go ahead.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Hey, good to see you.
Hey, question is, last night Carolyn was laughing uncontrollably over you guys in the fashion. I was wondering what exactly was that all about?
Well, you know, if you saw us trying to pick out fabrics, I mean, it was like a bunch of chickens with our heads cut off. I didn't know a herringbone from a tweed from a pink chiffon, which I'm sad to say I know now. But running around picking that stuff up, and she was obviously having fun with it. I mean, women know fashion, we don't. So obviously that was a chance for her to let loose a little bit.
All right, thanks for the call. And, John, we know that you're on a tight schedule. We appreciate you joining us. He's John. He's fired from The Apprentice, but let's give him a round of applause.
Yeah, that's right. John, you go back to the magazine now? That's what you're doing? Or are you going to hang around New York? Or are you going to try to get in the organization? What are you going to do?
Well, right now, I've got my website up, which is johnwillenborg.com. I'm doing some publicity stuff for NBC as well. And, you know, whether or not I head back to the magazine will be seen, but life is good for me right now.
So very good.
I have to say cheers, guys, and thanks for having me on.
All right, thanks for joining us, John.
Bye, John.
See you later. Bye-bye.
A nice guy, another nice guy from The Apprentice. We don't follow it as closely as we follow other television shows, but it seems to me that we've had several guys that have been dumped from The Apprentice that seem like good guys.
Yeah.
So I'd like to know who's rising to the top there. Are they evil people?
Yes.
Or what?
We had the girl last week, and she seemed nice as well.
Right.
Yeah. And let me just say, I know we got a break here for Richie Eisen, but thank you to all of our callers.
Good job. Excellent question.
And I'll tell you why that was good radio. I have no idea what TV show you were talking about.
I enjoyed it, sure.
Yeah.
And, tip of the cap to anything with Kournikova.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants, with a victory against the Eagles tonight, could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show. Forget it. I'm halfway home. The Don and Mike Show.
Right. Time to ask Rich Eisen how he's being. Which is brought to us by Tower Records and Tower.com. Nobody has a bigger selection of music and movies you love than Tower. Here's Elvis Costello. We just don't have time to play it. Elvis Costello also wrote this.
Yeah, the theme, so versatile.
You know, he wrote the song called Allison. This one's called Rich. And here he is now from NFL Total Access. Rich Eisen. Hey, Rich.
How you guys doing?
Hey, dude, what's happening?
Fine.
How have you been, Rich?
I'm just fine. I assume Mike's not standing around watching the Red Sox get ready to go down 3-0.
No, I'm actually. Hey, Rich.
Hey, good.
You know, I know you're a Jets fan and all, but come on.
No. Listen, I root for all 32 NFL teams, but I can no longer, now that I don't work for SportsCenter, I can say I wear the Yankee pinstripes.
Ouch. That's awful.
You are a permanent enemy.
I just decided that this time around, I'm just going to be more vocal with my Red Sox friends because they've really been very vocal this year.
I thought you were going to say something like they've been very obnoxious in that crowd the other night with Who's Your Daddy. That was
that was one of the great all time sports chants. You got to admit that. That was great. I mean, 55,000 fans chanting Who's Your Daddy.
And they were doing it with the dun dun dun.
You know,
dun,
and you
yeah,
know,
they even the vaunted famed Yankee Stadium organist Eddie Layton getting in.
And I will tell you that I watched all the Red Sox games all year long, and I'm looking at Pedro Martinez. I've seen him pitch so many games. I'm looking at a man who really, he might have faked it a little bit. He looked like there were about a million places he'd rather be than on that mound.
Yeah, you know what? It was funny. My wife, who's a big Boston Red Sox fan, her family is steeped in that tradition.
Right.
In fact, I married into the that family, they look at me as if I'm the black sheep already. She looked at me and said, Pedro looks bored.
It was the weirdest
and
look.
She said, he looks bored.
It was incredible, and I think the boredom look was just sort of compensating for either total terror or just a desire to be somewhere else.
Well, but one of the best pictures I saw from Yankee Stadium was a guy wearing a full Darth Vader outfit with the mask and everything and a sign that said, Pedro, I am your father.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's sad. It's sad, but we're coming back tonight.
Rich, you never know. Good luck to you.
Before football, then that would be the last question. How many games do you think the Yankees will take to beat the Red Sox?
I think this doesn't go back to Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, right. You know, right now the odds makers are probably saying that too.
Well, certainly if tonight's game gets rained out,
mm-hmm.
then the Yankees can bring back Messina and Lieber on full rest before going back home.
And look at you, hold on, Mr. NFL Company Man, and all the commercials. You've been on the airway like 3 or 4 minutes. There's been no football talk.
I love every minute.
I'm a sports fan, but, you know, I mean...
You believe the red, white, and blue of the NFL logo, and...
Oh, I do. I believe the shield, my friend.
That's what I'm saying. And damn again this week, if when you had Herm Edwards on, like I said, all the other teams, let's go on Texans cam, let's go on Rams cam, it's... We'll go on JETS cam.
Well, I mean, that's fun to say, you know. I mean,
and you're a fan.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I would spell out Eagles like those fans do, but it's too long. It's 6 letters. It's very difficult to say. You know, I get into the spirit of everything. We have Champ Bailey on tonight's show. We'll talk about, you know, him going to the black hole, and we hooked him and Rod Woodson up together. You know, two great cornerbacks there, talking about the rivalry. It's a big game this weekend. Jerry Rice will be there.
Is he going to get traded to Detroit?
No, Adam Schefter, our guy here on this show, called us up today, and he says that's not going to happen. It's just the trade's not going to happen. It's just, you know, Jerry was told before the season that he was going to still have a role in the offense, and he's clearly being phased out.
Let's get to the stuff that I've seen on your show and stuff that I've not seen on other channels, incidentally. This guy, Chad Johnson from Cincinnati, the receiver.
Yes. I love him.
He sends, they're playing Cleveland. He sends Cleveland Pepto-Bismol. Now, I know on your show you covered this, like, you asked Lincoln Kennedy, whoever was sitting next to you.
Yes.
You said, is this bulletin board material? And he kind of said, I don't know. I know if I'm playing for Cleveland.
Just for everybody's background, bulletin board material is when they stick it up there as motivation to go on and kill the other team.
If a guy says we're going to kill these guys, but he sent them Pepto-Bismol, and he also sent them handwritten notes, right?
Yes, he did. A handwritten note.
So,
yes, he did.
So,
I mean, you know what? In this day and age, we're all, you know, all of us in the media here, and there's so many players who just give you the, as we call it here at the NFL Network, they give you peas, eggs, and ham. They don't give you anything.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I'm not one of those people who then rips an athlete for, speaking his mind in this respect or mixing it up. You know, I mean, I know a lot of people about Terrell Owens, just shut your mouth. I don't particularly mind that when he's going to step up and start talking about tell Ricky Manning to bring it this weekend. Because it's just a lot of people's ways of getting ready for it. And I think that this has got some sort of, it's got a sense of humor, a wink and a nod.
I agree.
You know, it's not just the usual trash talk. And like, I'm going to kick your butt or
creative.
Anything like that.
Well, what amazes me in the area of the NFL where, you know, where the collisions result many times in guys ending up in wheelchairs. I mean, these guys can kill each other. It's astonishing to me that kind of trash talk. That
well,
somebody
he's actually,
that
the note that, and if you didn't hear, the note read, because the note to Dalen McCutcheon of the Browns secondary. Dalen, just want to add a little color and relief to your week. All the best, Chad.
Oh, very cool. Okay,
all right.
Very classy.
That's the handwritten note he threw in there. And, and McCutcheon laughed about it. Now, the last laugh can be, you know, unfortunately on Chad because Peter Warwick is out of this game. And Chad might get triple teamed. And he might be the one who needs the Pepto by the end of the day.
Cause, for sure.
You know, they may just shut him down and try and make Carson Palmer beat them by finding, you know, Usman Zada or somebody else on that team, because they're sure not going to probably let Rudy Johnson beat him. They're going to try and make Carson Palmer beat him, and Yeah, it's a big. Actually, this is a big game too because the Browns can go back to 500 with their smoke and mirror process here, and the Bengals can get back to 2-3, which would put them ahead of the Browns in the division standing. So this is a pretty big division game, and there are a lot of good games on. Obviously, leading off with the Seattle New England game that's going to go on.
Let me just say, real quick, because the people in Green Bay called us on Monday. We got to call people screaming about the Packers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How low can they go? Brett Favre doesn't play good in the dome. Will they give the ball to Amon Green 30 times this game? Are they going to abandon the running game? You talk to all the people. What is the buzz about the Packers?
Well, I don't think they can get any lower than the worst. On a Monday night, having a team come in and force 6 turnovers and score the most points in the history of a visiting team in Lambeau Field. I don't think it gets much worse than that. Much worse would actually be Favre getting hurt. I think.
Do you think Detroit can win this?
Detroit can absolutely win this game. They're home. They're coming off of a big win in Atlanta. They sacked Michael Vick an unprecedented number of times. Their defense is buzzing, and Mariucci's got them believing. And there's no question about that. That the roar restoration process is in full swing. But that said, the Packers definitely have to get back to running the football. They have to do that. And Mike Sherman said today that they're not going to have Amon Green change anything about his game, that everybody knows that Amon Green carries the ball in his left arm and left arm only, and when he's running down the right sideline, that creates a major problem.
Let me stop for a second. How much is BS when we see the commentators, and how much is true about the way that Coughlin has had Tiki Barber hold the ball?
Well, we talked about this with Terrell Davis on our Monday show last week. Prior to the Monday night game, talking about Amon Green's potential fumble problems, and that it's that him Tiki carrying the ball the way he does definitely protects it a lot more than what he did last year, with him carrying the ball almost parallel to the rest of his body, perpendicular to the ground, mm-hmm. by jamming it up against his shoulder blade in a way, using his chest as the protector. It's very difficult to knock the ball out because nobody's going to really be able to come from behind and bat it out, which is a very popular move to force a turnover. So, you know, you can't quibble with the results. The man leads the league in rushing going into week 6 with 0 fumbles. So Amon Green, though, is not going to change his style. That's it. He's going to carry the ball in his left arm, and he's just going to have to do a better job of protecting it somehow because they definitely have to get back to running the football. That's why they made the playoffs last year. You know, Brett Favre can definitely win a game on his shoulders. There's no doubt about it. But it's just this is their bread and butter. That's how they're built. Now, Mike Flanagan, their center's hurt. Can they still put on that good of a rushing game? I don't know. But that's their challenge right now, no question.
And listen, finally, then we'll do the picks. You know, you have Mark Bulger coming up on your show. Who is the worst team? It'll be Miami and Buffalo this weekend. Is the loser the worst team?
Wow, I guess you'd have to say so because how many winless? I'm thinking right now, how many winless teams are there in the league right now?
I know last week you were saying maybe San Francisco, but they came back.
Hey, right, exactly. At this point, you'd have to say so because the loser of this game is the only winless team left. But again, you'd have to. You know, you are what you are. I know I say that almost every week. Your record is what you are. That the Miami Dolphins would be the worst team in the league at 0-6, no doubt about it. They would be in line for the first overall pick, which means you're the worst team in the league, but their defense ranks second.
What are the odds you think they'll tie?
What are the odds? I know, exactly. You know,
0-0.
I parse my words almost every time I mention this game, saying that somebody's got to win, but then again, my goodness, what if they tie? I mean, that would be fitting.
Yeah. And now let's go now to Texans, Cam. Earlier we had Charlie Casserly on the show, and we asked Charlie to say something to you, Rich.
Something about Rich Eisen, and he seemed to draw a comparison that we don't necessarily see it, but Charlie had a message for you, Rich.
So here now is the message from Charlie Casserly, general manager of the Texans.
Hi, Rich. This is Charlie Casserly. You're the only guy I've ever known that was in the movies with Dan Aykroyd, and now he changed his name to Rich Eisen to be on NFL Live.
We don't get it.
I think he thinks you look like Dan Aykroyd.
I get
Rich.
That all the time.
Really?
Okay. I do. So wow. I do. But so that's like the Trading Places Dan Aykroyd, not the driving Mercedes.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Large distinction.
Thanks.
And we mean a large distinction.
Thanks for making the clarification. Did you get? You have the games to pick? We got three.
I do. You guys only have three.
We only got the three biggest, and you've only got 2 minutes left, so let's roll right there.
All right. Green Bay at Detroit.
Ah. First, I got to ask you a non-real football question, fantasy. If you had these running backs and you could only start two,
yeah,
who would you start? Marshall Faulk this week, Amon Green, Warwick Dunn. Who's the odd man out?
Oh, man.
Because that's who I got.
Oh, boy. Oh.
Right now I'm benching Amon Green, but I can change that.
So you're keeping Dunn
and Marshall Faulk Monday night at home against Tampa.
I think you'd definitely have to keep Faulk in there. Oh man!
Yeah, I know.
Because you know both the Falcons and the Lions. I mean, the Packers are going to try and recommit to the run.
Run the ball
for sure.
So Amon Green?
I'd have a tough time benching him.
All right,
yeah.
Let's pick the game then. Green Bay, Detroit. I'll pick the Packers then. Mike.
Packers rebound this week. I really think so. They're going to come back at Detroit. I really do.
Okay, and then,
Seattle at New England.
Oh, Seattle, New England. This is the best game of the week. Seattle, New England. No doubt, Mike. Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots. I mean, how can you stop them?
And then we had one other one. Oh, because we had Charlie on. The third game.
The Eddie Murphy to my Dan Aykroyd. Charlie Cassidy. Houston at Tennessee.
Upset. I'll take the Houston Texans.
Man, I think you liked having Charlie on the show, but I think Tennessee wins this game.
Absolutely. All right. Those are your three of interest right there, huh?
Those are our three of interest.
What about the Steelers and Cowboys? I would think that game doesn't light your fire.
I think Pittsburgh. Well, I don't want to piss off Pittsburgh. I feel like you know. But I think they're the most overrated. Well, no, they're not the most overrated 4-1 or whatever they are. Denver is, but.
You think so? I love Roethlisberger. I really think he's the theory. He is such the real deal. Absolutely.
You don't just think he's one of those guys that's just getting up there and it's just all going bad, real fast? And
No beginner's luck for this guy. I mean, he's got it all. I mean, just the throws he makes running out of pocket. It's remarkable.
So you love Big Ben?
I do like him.
You know, he's available in our league, incidentally, if anybody wants to pick him up.
Dubs, pick him up. Go ahead. Pick him up right now.
All right, Rich, have a great show tonight. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Again. We'll speak to you next week.
You got it.
All right.
The great Rich Eisen, his show, NFL Total Access. That's on every night at 7 and 10 on the NFL Network.
You know, we're purely football junkies right there. There is a font of information. I mean, that guy is an encyclopedia.
Yep.
I mean, he really knows his stuff.
I should mention that Rich is brought to us like you're not pounded over the head with this. The Tower Records at Tower.com, your only source for music and movies, the best place to go and discover music, and has been for over 40 years. This week on sale, the day after tomorrow with Dennis Quaid, the Music and Movies Tower has the greatest magazine selection anywhere. Buy online, find at your local store at Tower.com. Tower Records, everything worth watching is here.
It's great having you on the show.
And Rich Eisen is on NFL Total Access, NFL Network, every night at 7 and 10. Please be going to NFL.com.
And it's great having him, and he is the great Rich Eisen, a font of information, but based on the first 3 minutes of that segment, what a jerk. What a big Yankee jerk. There you go. That's for you, Rich.
You know, I didn't know. See, he doesn't wear that at all on his show.
Put it together, Jets, Yankees. There are a lot of those guys out there.
He doesn't, but here's the thing, Mike. Mm-hmm. And I don't know Rich Eisen from a hole in the wall. I only know that I'm a fan of when he was on ESPN and now on this channel. He doesn't seem like a big enough jerk to be a Yankees fan.
I understand. Mm-hmm. They come in all shapes and sizes. You never can tell.
Does it not come stapled to his smarminess?
No, it doesn't. You know what? Some of my best friends are Yankee fans. I hate to admit it, but it's true.
You are complicated.
I'm a complicated man, Rob. Very open-minded. But they're my best friends, but make no mistake, they're jerks. All of them.
And I need the CBS music, because this is an added treat.
Hey, and what is the deal with the weather up? Is the game going to be rained out tonight?
It sure looks like it.
That bums my Friday night out.
Yeah, is that what Rich said?
Oh, man.
No, that's what I said. But
really? I thought he said it as well, or maybe you said it. Mike, we have not had this woman on in over a year.
Really?
Jim Nance. Nancy, where are you? In New England for the Patriots game. Jim?
Hello?
He got me.
Did I get you?
You got me.
Did I really
get you? It's taken like a month that you really got me. How you doing, Jim Nance?
Good. How you doing?
Boy, somebody's getting out of rehab. He's calling every day now.
All right.
That's so unusual.
Of course, it's not Jim Nance. No, Jim Nance is somewhere in a hotel room crying into his pillow that Brian Gumbel, Greg Gumbel stole his job.
He'll cry for a little while, then he'll throw an ashtray at the door.
Boy, you got the mind like a steel trap.
Now, don't you have that vision of him throwing that big hotel ashtray at the
guy's
door?
Hey, guys, cut it out, will you, please?
All right, I got them.
Hey, guys, what is... What is it? I hear you've got this other guy on the show now. It's me, Jim Nance.
Is Tom still on the line?
Tom hung up.
He hung up.
I wanted to know if he was a Yankees fan.
Phone scan time. Here we go with the rotating random phone scan. Your calls, these are on screen. Any moron can call.
Absolutely.
877-365-3636. That's the toll-free number. And if you're calling from Toronto, 800-636-1067. The phone scan lies straight ahead.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
This is supposed to be my weekend off. But no. You got me out here dragging your heavy ass through the burning desert with your dreadlocks sticking out the back of my parachute. You gotta come down here with an attitude. Hacking all big and bad.
Yeah, I see fish.
And what the hell is that smell?
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, you know what? God damn.
What?
Dry.
Dry.
I was so consumed with playing Granny Pay.
Ba, 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 ba.
What are you singing?
Whatever that song is you play.
No, that's
so one of them tunes you played for 20 years.
Okay, hold on. Let me try this again. Because I have to stop the Will Smith tape where we used to play the fart sound effect.
I think I
weekend.
Love you. Is that it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, all right.
Okay, here we go again.
This is supposed to be my weekend off. But no.
Yeah, just didn't get a record ready.
Yeah, he was bragging.
I'm waiting to play this dumb tape.
Through the burning desert.
Yeah.
With your dreadlocks sticking out the back of my parachute. You gotta come down here with an attitude. Hacking all big and bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see fish.
And what the hell is that smell?
It's on in my
better. Goddamn right.
Oh, good. Heavens no. Yeah. The Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, Mike, about that last comment, you're on your own.
Good heavens no.
What do you think you're doing here? You're out of the business for good, forever.
Will you just listen a minute?
Shut up! You shut your mouth once and for all.
Phone scan. Last phone scan of the week. Quite often, either the best part of the show for the week or the reason we all drink. Yes.
Very dangerous this time of day, this time of week.
877-365-3636. I'm feeling good.
Low pressure. I guarantee you we're going to have some trouble.
Feeling good about this phone scan. Hello, Don and Mike Show on screen calls. Hello.
You. Hi, Don.
Hi there. I am Mike. You're on the air.
How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Hi. I have a question.
Yeah.
Buzz, is there any truth to the rumor that they have Geronimo's skull in the tomb of the Bonesmen?
Wait, is this girl doing...
I've heard the rumor, but I don't know if it's true.
What did she say? What?
Something about...
Asking
Bones?
About the fraternity.
Bones.
Or the secret...
Supposedly, Bush's great-great-grandfather sent an initiation rite into the Skull and Bones, had to steal Geronimo's skull.
That's true.
Oh, that is true. Okay, yes. Geronimo's skull.
And that's also, my skull.
They all
I'm so wasted.
That's it, that they're allegedly right. Skull and Bones, the Yale fraternity,
right.
or secret society, whatever you want to call it, they have Geronimo's bones.
Let me lead you into the land of secret. For you see, as you know me as...
Don Geronimo.
I am actually...
Michael Sars.
The curtain has been pulled back.
And you know what else is in order to get into the frat, George W. Bush had to steal Geronimo's Cadillac.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. That's a Michael Murphy reference that nobody will get.
That's a wonderful joke. That's a Friday low pressure system joke.
You still have your skull.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
I didn't waste it.
No.
Otherwise your headphones would squeeze your head together.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay.
Hey, how's it going, Buzz?
Hey, all right.
Hey, I love your guys' show. I've never called in before, but I have one very important question.
Yes, sir. What is it?
Why is it that every time you guys play low-budget Jeopardy, Mike isn't there?
All right.
He's around.
That's a chuckle.
All right,
that's
gonna,
just a quiet chuckle.
Get a chuckle.
We all smile.
He's on the other side of the fake door.
Hello, Don, my show. Hello. And Buzz, I thought you were a believer in keeping the fake door non-fake. Now you're over to the side. It's fine with me.
You kind of threw in the towel on the door in the last 24 hours.
I don't think we should throw in the towel. I think we should make the door. The door should be the rule.
It's a fake door, though.
I mean, the fake door should be, but we got to shut up when somebody opens the door. We step out.
But the problem is, it's still on tape, and the tape machines don't work real good.
Can't we get it on the secret digital thing?
We don't got any room on the secret digital thing.
Well, we could move something, couldn't we?
What am I supposed to move?
Yeah, I see fish.
Not bad, no.
Right. I mean, I'm looking at this thing. I can't think of anything worth getting rid of.
Nothing we can live without?
You got it on there, though, but see? There it is.
Oh, it's not handy.
Well, there it is.
Perhaps we could shift it. Candy is dandy, but sex won't rot your teeth.
Hello, you're on the air. This is the Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey. Hi, boys.
Oh, man, we got two people on at the same time.
I got two lines on at the same time. Ladies first. Lady, go ahead.
Hi, boys. How are you guys doing today?
Hi, we're doing great.
All right.
I just had to call and tell you that you are the Dane's Peanuts, and Don, I love that effing vodka.
Oh, and you know, I don't get a dime for that. Do you know the truth about that vodka, that they refused to sell that in the state of Virginia because of the name?
Really?
Because it's E-F-F-E-N.
And it means, I think, flying or gliding in Dutch. I mean, it's the real reason they chose it.
Right.
Yeah. But the Virginia ABC won't let them sell it in state.
They said something.
Well, I don't understand. It's a fine organization.
Hello, Don and my show.
Normally,
hey,
good jokes.
Friday.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, oh,
I'm excited, gentlemen.
Here's the other. Same to you, my friend.
Okay. I called a couple of days ago about the story about the old woman who got her fingernails ripped out, and I got cut off. I just wanted to let you know what that was all about.
All right, go ahead.
I'm going to be...
Right. Wasn't that your story, Don? Yes.
He was commenting
about a story, but you know, he got cut off, and now, sadly, he's been cut off twice. Hello?
Yes, I have not been cut.
Pardon me?
Don and Mike, yes. Buzz, Wichita says hello.
Hi there, Wichita.
And I think Harlem uses a lot of whiteout.
You think what?
Harlem uses a lot of whiteout. I could be wrong.
Harlem?
Being
from Wichita, you could be wrong about Harlem.
I'm not.
Right, and I think also like you're calling with a joke or something, but I can't even discipline you because I've told we have... Breaking news on line number 7.
We do. Wow.
Breaking news.
Gotta run.
I swear I don't know what this is. Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi. Hi, Dan.
Oh, hi, Barty. What's happening?
How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm in the middle of the phone scan.
Rob asked me if I wanted to go on. I said, sure, only because breaking news, my hair is now purple.
Oh.
Your hair is purple?
No longer platinum.
Why? I thought you were going to go with orange.
No. I dyed it blonde.
Yeah.
The color purple would take.
Okay. Well, purple is a secondary color.
Oh, I see. All right. I see.
So your hair is now purple.
Yes, sir.
And this is my almost 20-year-old son.
College boy.
With a sophomore at college. All right. Thanks for calling me with the great news. On the radio.
I was fine with telling you off the air.
Oh, I don't know. You wanted to come on. What did he say when he called, Rob?
He said, have you call him during a break? I said, is it important? He said, you can tell him if you want. And I said, well, how about you come on?
All right.
So,
that's cool.
Bart, is this a Halloween thing or just a fashion statement? What's...
It's semi-permanent. It should stand for equality 2 months.
Very good.
2 months of purple hair. That goes almost up to the Christmas holiday.
It does. Yeah. Maybe I'll do red and green for Christmas.
All right. Well, as always, I couldn't be prouder.
Right.
And all I care about is that, you know, you're okay, that you didn't burn your hair off. And most importantly, whatever it is you put in your hair, you paid for yourself.
Yep.
And I remember this time of day on a Friday at college, just about as happy as I'd be as a human being.
Mike, can I tell you that the boy's got his schedule so that he's got no classes on Friday?
Oh, even better. I'll tell you, Fridays are great, aren't they, Bart?
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
I actually think, and I know because we got the call last night, the best time is, what time you get done with that lab last night when you call Mom and I?
Like 8:30 maybe?
About 8:30.
Oh, sweetness.
He just called without a care in the world.
Sure.
You know, hey, big weekend, Mom and Dad, I dyed my hair. I don't care if you give me any crap about it. I got a big weekend happening.
Friday afternoon offset by Sunday night.
Oh, Sunday night's tough. Yeah. Sunday night, very difficult. Yeah.
How are you doing?
Sunday night, not do that bad when you don't have a class on Monday till 12:30.
I had a class. My class is my junior and senior year. My class is on Monday, both years, or at 6:30. 6:30 in the evening.
P.M. Yeah. There you go.
6:30 p.m.
Is that ever pushing it?
Huh?
Is that ever pushing it? A
couple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Barney, have a safe weekend. I love you even though you have purple hair.
All right, thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Bye, my little pony.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
If I walked you through...
That is a private joke between my son and
Well, he wore that's the shirt, right? This
yeah,
little
yeah
pony.
But he's gotten a little more into it than that.
Has he really?
Yes, he has.
And purple hair. You know, if I really...
I just want to say someday, if I'm ever asked about that when I run for president about my gay son, I will have no problem.
Yeah. If your opponent brings it up, you'll say, hey, K. Pasa. Right. If you went through my college schedule, I think
my son's gay.
My junior and senior...
Because he likes wearing pink in his... dyed his hair different colors.
You're uptight about it, aren't you?
I think there's like a 30% chance.
You're uptight about it.
Maybe a 40% chance.
No.
No.
Okay, 35.
No way.
There's nothing wrong with that.
See, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that makes... And I would have no problem, real life, either way. But I do wonder. He's almost 20 years old. He does wear, because he wants to be different. I know he wants to be funny. He wants to piss people off.
Right.
He does wear, like, My Little Pony shirts. And he does wear... pink belts, and he has dyed his hair purple. But on the other hand, Sunday comes around, boy's on the phone with his dad saying, Dad, did you see that play? So it's like I'm getting mixed messages from him.
Yeah, well,
he likes that.
Doesn't Fez Watley talk football to you all the time, too?
Okay, that's a low blow, Mike.
You brought it up.
And I mean, pun intended on that low. That's a low blow.
It's, you know, who knows?
No, I know this. He's got a wonderful girlfriend who's almost ready to graduate high school. That's the truth.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
That's the truth. Well, a little different when he... Well,
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I know.
He's got an age difference thing that's a little...
When you're back, you know, because technically if I was doing that...
Correct. That would not be good.
He would be born in 6 years.
That would not be good. Yeah. But I love that kid. You with his purple hair.
And what I was going to say to you was my schedule in college, my junior and senior year of college, would have made a very good Anheuser-Busch commercial.
Hello. Your life is a good Anheuser-Busch commercial.
It really wasn't the classes. They were just there, you know.
Did the Clydesdales take you to your classes
occasionally? Occasionally, with that big fireman up front. It was wonderful. Thanks. I'll see you in an hour and a half.
Like that great commercial that they only play at Christmas time, the one with the Budweiser one. Sure.
Yeah, and you know what I would be doing is sometimes I got disciplined for it. In the back of the classroom, I'd just be going la da 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 da
da da da da da.
Mr. O'Mara, sorry, sir.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, it's good to talk to you guys, finally.
Right on.
All right, I wanted to tell you, one of the most things that I love about your show is when you're doing the radio promos,
Rob,
and you're talking like
hold
you're
on, hold on, sir,
thing.
hold on, just a second. Rob,
can I move for an immediate dismissal based on
one of the most things?
Yeah, I mean, that's like not even English.
He's just nervous.
Let's give him another chance.
Why don't you just give him a chance to rephrase?
Get a running start this time.
Okay, you're all in. Don't screw it up.
And I'll give it to you. It's one of the things you like most.
Oh, Mike.
I'm sorry, I'm helping you.
One of the things I like most, Don and Mike,
mm-hmm.
is that you correct me when I speak bad grammar.
I saved. What a nice save.
Come on, he beat you, Rob.
He did.
He beat you.
I found him on
go back to your corner.
On a low pressure Friday.
Let's continue with the caveman.
We have round two.
Yeah. All right, now you've earned the right. You've defeated Rob. What would you like to say?
When you're making pretend like you're talking,
another flag on the play.
Hold it.
He won round two.
Okay. All right.
When you're making pretend.
I love when you are turning on your radio machine and making pretend.
You may continue for a few moments. Whoever wins the next sentence will decide if this call continues.
All right.
And that's a bush.
Third down.
He's the wittiest card in town.
All right, are you done?
Just about.
Okay,
what means he's? I might have declared a winner.
I love when you make pretend.
When you're making pretend.
Making pretend.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I thought he spoke English real good. Don and Mike, I have a burning question.
Yeah.
Where can I obtain absinthe?
Buzz, you'd have to tell him.
Buzz?
Greenferry.org would be a good place to start.
It can't be bought locally in the state of Maryland, eh?
No, or anywhere in the United States.
Yeah, good luck asking at Safeway. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I've got something to say about the last 90 days of shows. You have been when you're hot, stay hot.
Are you trying to do a Jerry Reed
yes,
thing?
Yes, I understand.
Appreciate the effort.
I think he went the best line, though. He said, when you're hot, you're hot. He wanted you to say something.
You're responsible. I thanked a lot.
There you go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Now he's happy.
Hello, Don and Mike, Radio God.
Hi there. You're on the air.
This is former President Jimmy Carter. How are you?
Hello,
okay, here
Don.
We go. We're getting close to that 6 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Let the auditions begin.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Bye, Sean Dell. Bye, Joan Crawford. There's a lady that works here. Shondell, you've heard her on the air. She's one of the salespeople here.
Yes.
We often say bye to her and wave to her. She's a friend of my family's, as well as Mike's. But there's this other broad that works here. I have no idea what her real name is.
Mm-hmm.
But and she's a good-looking woman.
Yes.
She looks like Joan Crawford.
Yes, she does.
Back in the day.
Good night, Joni.
So I like calling her Joan right to her face.
You did it before the show today.
And it doesn't bother her.
No,
she told me a couple of weeks ago, I like it when you call me Joan.
Hello, Joan. Joni, we will part as friends.
Rent Mommy Dearest, and you will immediately understand what Mike is talking like.
Louie, will you walk me to my car?
You know what you are? You're box office poison.
Box office poison!
Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay. Are you pretending to sound mentally disabled?
No, it's Friday at 6 o'clock, so I'd like to say...
Right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan.
Hello?
Yeah.
Turn your radio down, please.
Turn it down, big knob. Turn it to the left.
I got a quick question. How come you guys... the last bit I heard you guys do with Jack Diamond and Bert was about the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Boy, that must have been a best of that you heard.
Right.
So, okay. All right.
So what?
That was all.
No, I don't get it. What was the question?
No, the question was, I haven't heard you guys making fun of them anymore.
Well, he's not around anymore. I mean, they're not a team anymore.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And what's funny is, I think I mentioned this when I went down to see Al Green with my son down in Atlanta, that the guy, the weasel that used to work with him.
Rat Boy?
Yeah, Rat Boy's got his own show in Atlanta. He's got, like, billboards up and everything.
Oh. Rat Boy.
Rat Boy.
Hey, Diamond.
Hey, little buddy.
How are you?
Hey, little buddy.
Hey, where's my cheese?
Hello. Hello. Thanks for firing that, Roush. Hello, Donna Mike Show.
Hey, guys, Marty Bass here.
Here we go.
At the parade.
Here we go.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Daddy Don. I just wanted you to know that Chaz and I are going to be braiding each other.
I don't even know what he was saying. Something about braiding something with somebody.
Something about Daddy Don.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike.
You think that was my daddy for a caddy again?
I'm not sure. It could have been a variety of things, you know. You never
braiding some kind of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air.
Hey, Don and Mike, I got an FCC question for you.
Yeah, go ahead. We love the FCC.
All right. Why is it that you guys can't have naked ladies on the show no more, but just the other day y'all had a couple naked guys running around rubbing their butts while they're naked with hot baby oil?
You know, in his simple country way, he does, perhaps some balance could be used in the future.
Because the FCC is highly homoerotic. And
they like that.
And they allow that behavior.
Yeah,
and I want to say that comes from Michael Powell directly.
There is the answer.
Homoerotic equals okay.
Yeah, right. You go down to the FCC, you'll see the walls are filled with homoerotic art.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Paintings, sculptures.
Yeah, the sculptures are what I like.
Oh, videos.
Yeah, some of them ancient.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Radio God.
Hi there, you're on the air.
How are you?
We're doing great, thanks.
Good. Hey, there's breaking news in the presidential election.
Okay, are you doing a joke?
Oprah Winfrey's running, and she promises...
Honey.
Stop.
I don't want to ruin your weekend by giving out your phone number. You seem like a nice enough soccer mom type lady. Please, if you want to give a joke on the show, you have to first promise that we can give out your phone number if we don't laugh at the joke.
I guess that's safe.
What?
You want to... You think it's okay? That's
what are people?
She,
I'm
she
curious
guesses that would be a safe thing to do.
Okay, but when she said it, Buzz,
yes, it came out.
I felt safe.
Just like that.
All right, so you understand, my sweet, toot sweet. You understand that if you tell this joke about Oprah and we don't laugh, we'll give out your phone number.
Yes, I understand.
All right, then we are ready to laugh. Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
She has promised that if everybody elects
now,
her...
Now, hold on. Stop. What's happening with the car door? What are you doing now? You doing your multitasking?
That was my fiance's car.
So the dinging is distracting from your humor.
All right, well,
I'm sorry.
You want to try it again, Pat?
Here we go. Read a runner. Okay. Let's go.
She's promising one thing, that when everybody votes for her, you're going to get a car.
All right, listen. Call this bitch, please. 703-296-6799.
Thank you.
All right. Let me just say this.
When you're hot,
703-296-6799.
Yeah. Now, with weekend rates, you don't have to wait until 3 o'clock in the morning unless you just happen to be up at that time.
Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, Don, Mike, Rob, Tim. How you guys doing today?
Hold on.
You referred to him.
Oh, him.
Him. Remember him? Remember the day?
Were you deliberately trying to not acknowledge Buzz?
No, it's just a nickname you guys gave him a few weeks back.
Yeah, that's all right. I'll give you a charm time for that. All right. You may continue.
I just want to say how great you guys are. You guys get me through this distraught ride home, and I just want to say thanks a lot.
Okay, all right, thanks a lot.
We appreciate
it. Thanks. Hi. Don and Mike, we do appreciate it.
Yes, we do. We really do.
We're just not real good at taking compliments.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Or impressions.
Hello.
Or jokes. Hello.
Or jokes.
Would you identify yourself?
Here we go.
He's doing a major bill
thing. Yeah, right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Yep, welcome to Send in the Clown.
Hey, Mike, what do you think Pedro did with the midget after he lost the other night?
I think he probably had the Yankees adopt the midget as well.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Gentlemen.
I think they probably did something different, Mike. Hello.
Nasty.
How do you see?
Hello.
Dirty Mike.
That's why you like that show, Rescue Me, though. That show, Rescue Me, is the best thing on television right now. And, you know, basic cable, but boy, they let them go a little further than regular networks. And there's a dwarf on there with that big, fat comedian. You watch that show, right?
Yes,
Buzz?
I do. I'm behind by a week. But,
yeah. And when he professed his love for the big, fat, old guy, it was a thing of beauty. I love that show.
It is great.
I recommend that show. I think it's the best thing on TV.
I think it's great, except for Dennis Leary.
If you don't like Dennis Leary... You might have a tough time. But I never was a big Dennis Leary fan. The show's so good that you don't even notice
he's great in this role. Yeah.
He really is.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, yeah, thanks for waiting.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
A question for you, gentlemen.
Yes.
My question concerns the groupies that are enamored with Buzz. And I've listened for years, and I've always wondered how you all can detect when you're speaking to Pilar versus Jorge.
You mean as far as men and women?
Is this a guy pretending to be a woman? Let me ask that first.
Yeah, I have a question, though, that Rob just gave me. Have you eaten any eclairs today?
No.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, you think it's a fatty?
I do.
I think it's a guy.
I say this is a woman.
Well, how can he tell if it's Pilar or Jorge on the phone?
That's clear.
It's been a while.
He can't tell. Are you a man or a woman?
I'm a woman.
Really? Who's the celebrity you think you most resemble?
And be honest.
Diane Cannon. In her youth.
As she is today. Or in her youth.
Diane Cannon in her youth.
In her youth.
Why are you so scary?
I'm not trying to scare you.
You're scaring all of us.
You're scaring all of us badly.
Very bad.
You're going to give us nightmares over the weekend.
It's Halloween.
Okay.
How tall are you?
Hmm?
How tall are you?
5'8".
No, the truth.
Rob, you killing me?
The Inquisition begins. And meanwhile, look at old Sex Machine over there.
Yeah, just sitting there with his chin on his chest.
I'm not
with
scared
with his hand
yet.
On his chin. With his hand, whatever it is. The lady's got me shaking up.
Wearing his pajamas to work again.
I'm 6'5", I'm flat.
How do you tell the difference between Pilar and Jorge?
Thank you for calling, sir.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Diane Cannon in her youth.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike. She was another one at Rodney Dangerfield's funeral.
And if you you'd know Diane Cannon in her youth. You're not in your youth.
Hello. Don and Mike, you're correct.
Right.
There he is. Dude, and I mean it.
Hello. She was half right. She looks
hello.
Like, she looks like Cannon.
Cannon, William Conrad.
Hello.
Hello.
I love Angelina Jolie's bee stung lips.
I do, too.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, my friend. I like Macaulay Culkin's better. But that's just me. Yeah. I'm thinking about dyeing my hair purple. Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yes, we are. Hi.
Have you seen the commercial for Regis's new CD?
Oh, have I? It's hilarious. I mean, really, you know, he's got a CD where he's not the Dean Martin thing. Buddy.
What's this? What's he got out now?
It's a CD of Regis singing, like, It Had to Be You.
Oh, no.
And it's awful.
Is that the one where he's like, Swanee?
No, this is a more up-to-date collection.
Yeah, It Had to Be You.
And it's reasonably priced at $18.99.
Buy it for me. All right, very good.
Yeah, but you got to see the ad. This guy's right. The ad's hilarious.
And the guy hung up.
Hold on. He was there, and I was still hearing that bum, 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 bum. Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
I just wanted to tell you, you know, remind you about another classic part of Mommy Dearest.
Okay.
Because I am not one of your fans.
Well done.
That's a great... Robbie, can you pull that one out?
That is probably the greatest tape from Mommy Dearest that we play, I believe.
Love it.
Oh, and it's, I think it's the greatest scene in Mommy Dearest where they have that battle.
Oh, I think you got three major ones. I think, of course, No Wire Hangers Ever.
No Wire Hangers is the famous one.
It's overdone, though.
I know it is, but still it's the standard, in my opinion. I like the one, Tina,
Acting up for...
Tina, damn it.
Bring me... Then there's Tina, bring me the act.
Yes. I like the understated cruelty of You Lost Again.
Yes,
that's true.
It's a great movie.
I like when she's in the boardroom of Pepsi.
Yes.
Oh, it's not my first time at the rodeo.
And can we urge everybody in our listening audience, if you watch Mommy Dearest, watch it like we watch it. Watch it as a comedy.
Yes. Oh, it is.
It is. Oh, you'll love it.
It is. All right. And lady, hold on. First, you win a prize.
Thank you.
But second, let's hear this tape, this fantastic tape. Get everybody in the Friday mood.
I don't ask much from you, girl.
Girl.
Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me? I would be treated by any stranger on the street.
Here's a kid.
Because I am not one of your fans.
Is that good? Yeah. Lady, what is your name?
My name's Kamala.
And where are you calling from?
I'm from California.
Where in California?
I'm near Palm Springs.
Beautiful. Here you go. You got the HBO Family Bonds prize back. Meet the Evangelistas, a real-life family of bounty hunters, not actors, characters, at Sunday nights on HBO, plus for your weekend, $100 American.
Awesome.
And thank you for being the last caller on the phone.
Thank you. I love you guys.
Thanks for listening to Palm Springs. Hold on just a second.
Lots of ED in Palm Springs. We found that out this week. That's right. Syphilis in Virginia.
World where
what a lovely Friday thought, Rob.
Be forbidden.
Thanks, Rob.
One man
Thanks, Rob.
Found a way to bring good news to his people. He made it up. Never mind, it's past. The moment's past. We can do a VD thing.
The moment may come again.
A buzz. What's your lead story on the news and comments today?
Today, Bill O'Reilly vows to fight back and keep his mouth shut.
Okay. We got all those Bill O'Reilly tapes. Get them ready.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
Coming up
on the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Fall's here. That means carting your kids everywhere and feeling it like you got to be in a half dozen places at once.
But you came.
Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
How've you been?
I've been fine.
Stay in touch with OnStar Personal Calling.
OnStar Personal Calling is a hands-free phone built into OnStar-equipped vehicles.
Now at 6:20 on a Friday, if you're driving in D.C., I'll stray from the copy. They got this dumb no cell phone thing.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pull you over and give your ass a ticket if you already don't have hands free.
Right.
So get the OnStar button. You press the button and it says hello, and you say call Frida, and it calls Frida right away.
It's very exciting. And minute packages start under $15, and you're not bound by a separate contract.
And let me say also, I believe that you would have to dial in my number. I don't think you could just press your own OnStar button and have it call Frida.
No, I think you have to do that, but it is the greatest hands-free phone system in the world.
1-800-blah-blah-blah. It wasn't a 1-800, it was a... OnStar.com.
Yeah, press the blue button if you've got OnStar. You press the blue button to order minutes. If you don't, check out OnStar.com or swing by any GM dealership for a demo.
Call 1-800. We're on the network, Mike.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crestline?
The Don and Mike Show. Come tickle the toes of Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Right. Time for Buzz's News. Don't worry about that.
I'm a little distracted, man. Just give a message that I said during the break.
Oh, yeah. Let me just read this commercial.
Go ahead.
Buzz brought to us by Tower. Tower Records at Tower.com. No one has a bigger selection of the music and movies you love than Tower. They bring us Buzz's News and Comments tonight. Mike.
Just a message to my girlfriend's dog, Beluga.
Yeah.
The little pug.
Right.
A Beluga, this weekend. Touch my stuff. Touch my stuff again. I'll kill you. Just want to say that. Touch my stuff. I got a brand new wallet. I get a wallet every 2 years.
Uh-huh.
Got a brand new wallet. Was looking for my wallet for an hour today. Finally, in the corner of the room is a $20 bill that's been shredded. And then I still couldn't find the wallet. And then I finally found the wallet. It was underneath. It had slid underneath the TV set where it had been stolen by the dog. If the dog had had his way with the wallet, it would have been shredded. You can see the evidence. There's the evidence on the corner.
See the evidence?
Wow. See the teeth marks and the scratch marks where he tried to get it because it was underneath. If he had more time with it, he would have destroyed the wallet.
These appear to be human bite marks.
I did not do that. No human did that, Don.
You sure?
I guarantee you that's a pug. That's
you
the
know,
pug, Beluga, that did that. And I just wanted to say, you know, really, you're a sweet little dog. Touch any of my stuff again, I'll kill you.
Fancy wallet you got.
Isn't that a nice... And I was excited about it.
You were showing it off yesterday.
I was showing it off. I love my new... Don't you love my new wallet?
I've never had a problem like this with cash.
What I love best about your wallet?
What's that?
You got a lot of money in it.
Wow.
$20 less.
Give me the wallet back.
46.82.23.
It's my weekend money. What's
somebody got 300 bucks out of the ATM.
That's my...
And you know what?
Fresh.
It's that new money smell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, here you go. There's your money. Well, you gave me your wallet.
I've got
I've got
my weekend money that I have. I have to pay the babysitter with that. And then,
someone is naked without cash.
Yes, sir. I like to be heavy on the weekends, guys.
Cash heavy?
Yeah, cash heavy. Don't want to be light on the weekends.
No.
Amen.
God.
Save a trip to see your banker.
I'm thinking, on the weekends, mm-hmm. the way my wife gives me my money, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, who's the skinniest person? I'm Yao Ming.
Really? You're light? You're not getting... Well, here, let me give you this. You take that with my compliments.
What is this?
It's a gift. It's a gift from me to you.
It's a $1 coupon to the car wash.
That's right. You're still as skinny as the Olsen twins.
I know you like to keep a clean car. Knock yourself out.
Would you autograph it for me?
Later. I don't have time right now.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi there.
Conservative talk show host Bill O'Reilly says he's been told to, and I quote, keep my big mouth shut, and I have promised to do that. And that's what he told the New York Daily News yesterday after details got out about a sexual harassment lawsuit against him from one of his producers.
I'm a karma kind of guy. I'm an Eastern kind of guy, a wind chime kind of guy.
But on his show yesterday, he said these people picked the wrong guy. And this morning, promoting his new children's book, O'Reilly was on Live with Regis and Kelly saying, I'm a big mouth on the air and I'm a big mouth off the air. I'm going to take a stand.
Just to clarify that, I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday's Regis.
Yesterday's Regis.
He's suing the producer, accusing her of trying to extort $60 million with her story. Experts say that'll be hard for him to prove the extortion.
So if I said I never did drugs, that would mean I lie. Follow me and smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people and drink.
Yes, Bill.
I want food. I want beer. I want porn movies. I want internet games. I want to cut people's heads off.
But as on what he described as the worst day of his life, O'Reilly said, if I have to go down, I'm willing to do it. That's a little damning, isn't it?
Here's the point of this. Uh-huh. And as I said yesterday, we've had fun. But I think Bill O'Reilly's a good broadcaster, yes. like I think Rush Limbaugh is. This crap happens when you're in the public eye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bill O'Reilly, here's why people are piling on. Not because he's had this, whatever this problem is. It's because he gets on his radio show and screams about morality.
Yeah, and if he's doing that when he's off the air, too, and he's swaggering around
his work environment, you're going to get people on your wrong side. I mean, it's going to happen that way.
And if a woman is making these allegations, Mike and I have been sued and have had several lawyers have said certainly nothing is as outrageous as that, where they said don't say anything. However, if you're Bill O'Reilly and you've built yourself as this no-spin guy, when you come on the show like the Regis Show or Good Morning America and you say, this could ruin me, but I'm gonna fight this because I have to, why don't you just at some point say, oh, yeah, and incidentally, it's crap.
I didn't do it.
Yeah,
it's disturbing. I listened to him today.
And I think
it's
that...
It's a little concerning the way he is talking about it. And also, I think that a lot of people that are in the spotlight, politicians and everybody else at that level, at that network TV level, contrition is also a way to handle things.
Being sorry.
But now, I believe it's...
God, I'm senile here.
It's beyond that, right? I mean, it's beyond that, the contrition phase. An apology ain't going to do it right now.
Yeah, and, you know, what he did, if what he did was true, in the big scheme, you know, we're a forgiving nation.
Absolutely.
Right? God knows, I mean, look at me. I was arrested for pot. You know, you just got to turn around and say, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Right.
It's been 7 years. People forgive me. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll forgive anything. But when I was arrested for pot, and I don't like bringing that up, but I do, here's my point. I wasn't on the air every day screaming, if you take drugs, you're a bad person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
No hypocrisy there.
Yeah, right. Now, if Bill O'Reilly had been busted for pot, that would be the pot calling the kettle black. Yeah. If I got on and said, hey, what are you doing? Yeah. However, you don't hear me screaming going, listen, if you listen to Jay-Z, your kids are going to grow up retarded. You got to live your life this way, live your life this way.
When you position yourself as a moral authority, you are going to run into trouble. And if you position yourself as a moral authority and you do something like this, or you put yourself in a situation where something like this can come up,
right.
You got problems.
You're going to be in a porno movie.
Well, I've just given you the latest he said. Here's the latest she said.
Okay.
She has been on TV, too. The Today Show and Good Morning America.
Oh, and Buzz, I'm sorry, this is relevant. You should also know the tension that still exists because she still is going to work every day.
Oh, my God.
Wow. At Fox News.
Wow.
So she still is working in the same building with O'Reilly.
That's amazing. Producer Andrea Macra says that after some of O'Reilly's alleged lewd phone calls, she reminded him he's her boss. She quotes him as saying, you just have to suspend that. As for O'Reilly's extortion charges, Andrea says she only filed the lawsuit because O'Reilly continued his alleged inappropriate behavior after he'd agreed to stop. And she says the talk after his promise was even more explicit than the talk before. Quoting her lawyer, we have concrete and unrefutable evidence that he did it.
And now, again, though.
You know what that says, though? If they don't say that unless they have it. That's the way it usually works.
If they got the tape.
If they got a tape.
He's dead.
Bye-bye.
I mean, then you come on and listen, if you're O'Reilly, you come on and you say, all right, so, you know, I had some phone sex with this chick.
Right. Yeah, but it sounds to me like...
You can't say that.
It sounds like
Bill O'Reilly. I mean, not because he's so great, but because he's built himself up to...
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, it's amazing, but when you hear something like that, it's... and it seems to me that the girl going on the talk shows as well, that, you know, there's no yielding, but he's so steeped in his own personality and what he's created for himself that he can't back down.
You're going to fail in life.
A little like Rush was. When
man, I'm close to going toe-to-toe with this whore.
And Bill O'Reilly, what touch you?
Instead of what say you, what touch you?
Screw the establishment, use drugs, get a gun, call women bitches.
Oh, dear. The Democrats have...
You know, I also want to say this. As much as we're laughing, I feel for the guy.
Of course. How can you not feel for
the guy? I really do. We're goofing on him, and I totally disagree with his radio show. And I, like I've said with Rush Limbaugh, I don't believe that Bill O'Reilly believes any of this crap. It was his niche find a spot where he has become a larger-than-life figure.
Right.
You know, you can be entertaining, you can have an opinion, but when you start this morality crap with people...
And can I tell people also, I mean, you know, the one nice thing about this show, we take more live phone calls than any radio show that I'm aware of. I mean, it's every single day we do this. And I get the impression when you listen to hard callers that people don't take us too seriously. Don't take the guys that are serious seriously either.
No.
Take everybody you hear, everything you read, process it, but process it with you know, with your own filter, so you don't, you know, just you're spoon fed this stuff, and don't lap it all up, because these are human beings.
Yeah, and I'll give you a good example that has nothing to do with O'Reilly. I was talking to somebody in Baltimore about Jamal Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying, God, do you believe Jamal? This is so awful. Jamal Lewis is so awful. Hold on just a second. Jamal Lewis, in my humble opinion, dodged the big bullet, mm-hmm. right? He's going to go to jail in the offseason, but he's going to be able to play football. It's like, we're all wrapped up in this. We're all caught up in this. Why isn't he going to jail now? Why are the Ravens allowing him to play? Why are people not standing up and getting upset about this?
Mm-hmm.
I said to him, dude, in the big picture, Jamal Lewis getting in trouble is like a nun's, you know what,
yeah,
here.
I mean, not a big deal.
It's a pinprick. It's nothing. It's our focus on celebrity. Having said that, Buzz.
Yes.
Do you have anything at all on Jennifer Lopez?
No, I don't, sadly.
Because I saw her on TV today, and if I could just say to J-Lo,
mm-hmm.
who incidentally said she doesn't want to be called J-Lo anymore.
Okay, all right.
Boy, is she looking strong.
Yes, she is.
Whatever vitamins mm-hmm. Mark Anthony has given her are real good.
They agree with her. The Democrats have failed in their attempt to stop an anti-Kerry film from airing on a huge chain of TV stations. The Democrats argued that the broadcast violates Federal Election Commission rules and the notion of equal time. No word yet from the Election Commission, but the FCC, which also got a complaint from the Democrats, says it doesn't take complaints about shows that have not yet aired. The film Stolen Honor, Wounds That Never Heal, is about Kerry's anti-Vietnam War efforts over 30 years ago. It'll air next week on TV stations owned by the conservative Sinclair Broadcasting.
You know, our own Rob Spiewak has made an anti-Kerry film.
Really?
Really?
Oh,
it's about his wife.
Yeah. Nothing to do with politics, really.
It's
going to
be on pay-per-view.
It's going to be on pay-per-view?
Yeah, or
good.
For free, whatever.
Looking forward to it.
Come on over.
The company stations include
it's a home movie.
Network affiliates in key election states, and all 62 Sinclair stations have been ordered to air the film. The show airs just 2 weeks before the election.
The thing that's great about Rob's movie, it's a silent film.
I speak with my eyes.
Oh, Carrie's silent. Yeah. At home anyway.
Well, you can kind of hear her.
Yeah. Muffled.
You know that.
But, yeah. 6 men arrested for an anti-war protest at a recent Bush rally will argue that their free speech rights were violated with that arrest. As the presidential motorcade passed through Pennsylvania's Amish country in July, 3 men stripped down to just thongs and formed a human pyramid along the side of the road. They wanted to remind the president about the prisoner abuse in Iraq. If these 6 men are convicted, they could each spend 90 days in jail, and each would have to pay a fine of up to $300 for disorderly conduct. Their lawyers say the men broke no laws on nudity or anything else and were, in fact, exercising their right to free speech.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know. You know, on one hand, it's funny, but on the other hand, dude's the president of the United States. You got to line up on the side of the road, pull down your pants and show them your ass.
Yeah, I mean, no big whoop.
Yeah, I don't know. I do want to say, though, congratulations to that lovely young lady, Lindy Inglis, is that her name?
Oh, Lindy England.
Yeah, right. She delivered that child yet?
No, I don't think she's had the baby. Has she had the baby?
She had the baby.
Yeah, I thought she'd just squeeze that baby out.
Oh, fantastic.
So now, hopefully she'll get a figure back now.
Hope she's got the family genes.
She'll make a great mother.
Yeah, she's pretty.
The predicted 1% of Pennsylvanians who were planning on voting for Ralph Nader won't be able. A court ruling has thrown Nader off the ballot in that state. Nader petition signers included Mickey Mouse, Fred Flintstone, John Kerry, and Ralph Nader, but those were just the red flags. According to the head of Pennsylvania's Commonwealth Court, the petitions were, quote, rife with forgeries. Fewer than 19,000 of the 51,000 signers Nader needed were real. So Nader fell thousands of signatures short of what he needed to get onto Pennsylvania's ballot.
See, people wrote names like Mickey Mouse and Fred Flintstone
and John Kerry and Ralph Nader. They can't sign the petition. Pennsylvania's top judge calls it the most fraudulent exercise ever perpetrated upon this court.
Wow. Oh, I think that's funny.
It is funny.
So that makes 20 states where voting Nader just isn't an option. But he's still on the ballot in 30 states, and the Democrats still see Nader as a threat. They believe Nader will take away votes from liberals who might otherwise vote for Kerry. And even if that's just 1%, that could make all the difference in this very close race. Nader has the potential to tip the balance in as many as 9 states where the race is close. And 6 of those states are where Nader got the most support 4 years ago. Nader's blamed for affecting the outcome in 2000 in both Florida and New Hampshire.
this would put the decision of a national winner more squarely in the hands of the Electoral College and less in the hands of the voters.
Boy, all this Kerry stuff makes me want to... I remember now,
yes,
about the Cheney gay daughter thing.
Yes.
That I saw Lynn Cheney on TV. We don't have to debate whether it was right or wrong. We did that yesterday. I saw John Edwards' wife on television as well.
Mm-hmm.
And all I want to say to her is, honey, step away from the dinner table. I just want to say that. Step away from the dinner table. It's 3 weeks until the election. It's called South Beach. It's called Atkins. It's called Jenny Craig. It's called Weight Watchers. Honey, you're walking into Rosie O'Donnell's territory now.
I can't disagree with you there.
Jesus H. Christ.
I saw a young picture of her in the early days when they were doing like a little bio on him.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in her day.
Listen, here's how you
start. She kind of looks like Linda Ronstadt.
Here's how you start.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight, only have 2 cherry pies.
That's a good tip.
Push the third cherry pie away.
That's how you start.
Buzz, we are late. I apologize. What is next?
When we come back, even more surprises from the government's 9/11 report.
All right, be right back. Everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Words are hard for them. Don and Mike.
Sweet Beach Boys for the end of this week. I want to thank today for being on the show, Charlie Casserly from the Houston Texans. Nice guy.
Yeah.
Jacqueline Stallone. Crazy Sly Stallone's mom. Go to JacquelineStallone.com. Also, John from The Apprentice, the guy that got fired last night. Go to his website. We found out his last name.
What's his last name?
Willenborg.
John Willingboard?
Willenborg.
Willenborg.
Willenborg. JohnWillenborg.com. And Rich Eisen, thank you to him also, NFL.com.
Yeah.
Let me also say DonaMikeWebsite.com. We'll be up in a couple of weeks. We've got a nice logo there and Georgia.com. Now here's Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. When Bill Clinton left the White House, Democrats still had a president they could turn to, the fictional President Bartlet on TV's West Wing. If George Bush leaves office soon, Republicans may be turning to that show to embrace their fictional Republican president. The ratings began to tank last year for the West Wing, which had often been accused of being too liberal. The truth is the show's creator left and the show just wasn't as good. But change is afoot in the fake Oval Office. Jimmy Smits and Gary Cole are standing by as Democrats, ready to take office in January, and Alan Alda is standing by as the Republican. More Republicans have been added to the TV show's staff in the hope that conservatives will stop calling the program the left wing.
Oh, you know, come on, you know where I line up on this. The point is, it used to just be a good show. And
right.
Even for me, sometimes it was too bleedy hard. Sometimes it was too like, oh, come on.
Right.
You made the freaking point. Okay,
right.
Get it, you bleeding heart. But still, it's a good show. Like L.A. Law used to be a good show. Mm-hmm. Like ER used to be a good show.
Right, absolutely.
Like the Don and Mike Show used to be.
Those are the days.
Remember the day?
Man, oh man.
Now, wouldn't it be great if we could add Alan Alda?
Oh, we'd be fantastic. We'd be unstoppable.
The Don and Mike and Alan Show.
The government's 9/11 commission report was full of surprises, and I don't just mean about the no weapons of mass destruction or the Iraq had no ties to Al-Qaeda parts. The report, which was published in book form and made available at retail outlets, became a bestseller. It even outsold the South Beach Diet. And even more surprising than that, it's also now a possible literary award winner. That's right, a government report could win a literary award. It's already a finalist. The National Book Awards, now in its 54th year, is one of the most prestigious literary awards a person can win. In this case, however, it's 90 people, the 10 commission members and their support staff of 80. Quoting the chairman of the...
Isn't the winner of this like normally supposed to be something you'd have at Oprah's book club?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Normally,
an author. It is. This is unprecedented.
John Grisham.
Quoting the chairman of the 9/11 commission, we thought if you work hard enough at writing, you don't have to dumb it down. What a concept.
Yeah, really. Hey, thank God. That's a nice concept in government.
It sure is. A rapper who goes by the name KRS-One is certainly making a name for himself with what he has to say about 9/11. The hip-hop artist who was born Chris Parker is declaring his solidarity with Al-Qaeda. He tells the New York Daily News that he and other African Americans, quote, cheered when 9/11 happened. I say that proudly, he says. Chris, or KRS-One, says blacks were kept out of the World Trade Center, quote, because of the way we talk and dress. Quoting him again. So,
are you retarded?
So,
it's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
He goes on to say, so when the planes hit the building, we were like, justice. KRS-One goes on to say, 9/11 happened to them, not us.
I'm sorry, Buzz, you would know this guy. He raps on the R.E.M. song, Radio Song.
That's the guy?
That's the guy, yeah.
That's the guy?
I mean, at one time, he was quite up front with all of the...
Bit of an anarchist,
really. Yeah, I guess so.
By them, he says he means, and I quote, the rich, those who were oppressing us, RCA or BMG, Universal, the radio stations. He also says he's very cynical about the Rock the Vote campaign. He said, if you vote, you're just perpetuating a corrupt system. So don't.
So when is he moving to Iraq?
I don't know.
Have a nice trip.
Yeah.
Here's all I have to say about him.
Enjoy.
If only the machine worked.
Oh.
Here's all I have to say about him. Well, you heard half of it. Here's what I have to say about him.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's good.
Now it'll go all day.
Right.
Now it'll be like a Tootsie Roll sucker.
Oh, yeah.
Shut up! Now it'll be like all day just with no... Well, now it's not even queuing up. There it is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Shut up! Shut up!
Oh, yeah.
Shut up! The latest trend...
Oh, yeah.
Shut up! A human...
Oh, yeah.
Shut up. Shut up. A human resources magazine. Human resources magazine.
Howard Dean.
Out of Belgium. Has just published a report that says more men are willing to sleep with their bosses to get a raise or promotion than women are.
Are you listening, Michael Hughes?
Oh, yeah, I hope he is.
The Todd.
Survey shows that 12% of men would be willing to have sex with their boss to advance their career compared to just 1% of women.
Let's be honest. Rod and Fez are a fantastic show.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But how do you think they got that long-term contract?
Absolutely.
And
no.
Let me just say to Ronnie, I ain't talking about you, friend. Okay?
Fez does the real work on
them. Yeah, that's right.
I think Fez is responsible for their careers.
Fez did a lot of one-on-one negotiating with Alan.
C.C. Watley, casting couch. In sports, tonight, game three of the playoff series between New York and Boston. The Yankees are up on the Red Sox 2-1. But the forecast
is none.
That's 2-0. And can I just give this message to my guys up in Boston? How about it? But forecasters say the game will probably be rained out.
Oh, boo. You know, I'm no weatherman.
Uh-huh.
But that game last night in St. Louis.
They were playing that with the rain.
Yeah, it sure did look like it was pouring rain. They managed to play it. So, Mike, let's go Sox.
I want to sit in front of my television and cry. Please play the game tonight. And finally, crooks are stupid around the world.
Did you make this up?
Both of these stories are true.
All right.
In Croatia. You know, and try to prove I'm wrong since it happened in Croatia.
Right.
A man with a mask went into a bank and pulled a gun. The cashier, knowing she was safe behind bulletproof glass, just laughed at him. He was so embarrassed he left.
That's funny.
In Slovakia, a masked man with a gun robbed a bank where there was no bulletproof glass. He got away with over $1,400. But he should be easy to find. Witnesses say he stank to high heaven.
Ugh.
Their guess is he either stepped in something on the way to the bank... Or got so nervous.
Yeah, I see fish.
I'm Buzz Burbank.
Ew.
On the Don and Mike Show.
I get it.
No. No.
I get jokes.
No.
That's it.
Oh, boy.
Class dismissed.
Lecture over.
Have a great weekend, everybody. Please be safe. Love you, Frida. Love you, Bart. We'll be back Monday with the all-new episode. Ron and Fez coming up next on WJFK on Live 105 and on WBZ. Z. Good day to you, sir.
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 You. What?
How deep is your love?
Drive fast.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody.
See you later.
Eat a lot.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.